With Stages Lee, good morning, everybody. I'm going to go ahead and call our meeting to order. We have a quorum of the committee, and Brandon is out on travel. And with that, I would like to ask the House to do the opening, please.
Scully Swigwig. Dauna Ganchokwa, Asur Hunsiose, Ginate Ohundu Ganahela Dungsla. Agwegos Kaji, Adwahwe Nuni, Gwatnigola Daitinue Ladu, Nain. Nuki nuha ohunjage, ji sego yunat de wan diet, hari da tunyan duha king guat nigul. Aguego skaji adwahwe nuni guat nigula de tinue ladu, nain o negano sogu, ji sego yunat de wan diet, hari da tunyan duha king guat nigul. Aguego skaji adwahwe nuni guat nigula de tinue ladu, nain o negli suha, ji sego yunat de wan diet, hari da tunyan duha king guat nigul. Aguego skaji adwahwe nuni guat nigula de tinue ladu, Nain Awahit, G Sego, you know, the one year, Hari Dating and Duha King Guatnigul. Aguegos Kaji, Dwahwe Nuni Guatnigula, Daitino Eladu, Nain Asanatumunahundele, G Sego, you know, the one year, Hari Dating and Duha King Guatnigul. Aguegos Kaji, Dwahwe Nuni Guatnigula, Daitino Eladu, Nain Galunda Suha, G Sego, you know, the one year, Hari Dating and Duha King Guatnigul. Aguegos Kaji, Dwahwe Nuni Guatnigula, Daitino Eladu, Nain Oyunkwa U, G Sego, you know, the one year, Hari Dartin and Duha King Guatnigul. Aguegos Kaji, Dwahwe Nuni, Guatnigula, Daitino Eladu, Nain Onunkwa Togu, G Sego, you know, the one year, Hari Dartin and Duha King Guatnigul. Aguegos Kaji, Dwahwe Nuni, Guatnigula, Daitino Eladu, Nain Ojita Hasuha, G Sego, you know, the one year, Hari Dartin and Duha King Guatnigul. Aguegos Kaji, Dwahwe Nuni, Guatnigula, Daitino Eladu, Nain Gundilia Suha, G Sego, you know, the one year, Hari Dartin and Duha King Guatnigul. Aguegos Kaji, Dwahwe Nuni, Guatnigula, Daitino Eladu, Nain Ganjokwa, G Sego, you know, the one year, Hari Dartin and Duha King Guatnigul. Aguegos Kaji, Dwahwe Nuni, Guatnigula, Daitino Eladu, Nain Oela Suha, G Sego, you know, the one year, Hari Dartin and Duha King Guatnigul. Aguegos Kaji, Dwahwe Nuni, Guatnigula, Daitino Eladu, Nain Ladisa Gayondese, G Sego, you know, the one year, Hari Dartin and Duha King Guatnigul. Aguegos Kaji, Dwahwe Nuni, Guatnigula, Daitino Eladu, Nain Yochi Stokwalu, G Sego, you know, the one year, Hari Dartin and Duha King Guatnigul. Aguegos Kaji, Dwahwe Nuni, Guatnigula, Daitino Eladu, Nain Yodahalo Sunkwajiha, G Sego, you know, the one year, Hari Dartin and Duha King Guatnigul. Aguegos Kaji, Dwahwe Nuni, Guatnigula, Daitino Eladu, Nain Nain Yunki Sota, Hue Nidale, Yunki Nugula, Daddy Dartin and Duha King Guatnigul. Aguegos Kaji, Dwahwe Nuni, Guatnigula, Daitino Eladu, Nain Gaye Niungwedage, G Sego, you know, the one year, Hari Dartin and Duha King Guatnigul. Aguegos Kaji, Dwahwe Nuni, Guatnigula, Daitino Eladu, Nain Scanadalio, G Sego, you know, the one year, Hari Dartin and Duha King Guatnigul. Aguegos Kaji, Dwahwe Nuni, Guatnigula, Daitino Eladu, Nain Sunquai Disu, G Sego, you know, the one year, Hari Dartin and Duha King Guatnigul. Danny.
This morning, we're going to do some recognitions, and we're going to do some oaths of offices. So the first two items are a recognition for retirement for Deborah Shogarth, John Gigui. I'm sorry, I don't know how to say that last name. Somebody get Jiguire, maybe? Labs Jigir? Okay. And also a special recognition for years of service for Geraldine Danforth, which will follow next.
Good morning. I know we got you here under false pretenses. Deb came here thinking we were coming up here for something to do with the EMR, so that's why she agreed to come. So I just want to go ahead and present this to you in appreciation for your 17 plus years of loyal service and wish you the best on your retirement. We appreciate all the work that you've done. Deb has been instrumental in the EMR portion in terms of getting the EMR to talk with the lab systems and to create all of the codes and things that go into the billing for the laboratory. So we're going to truly miss her, and we'll have her on the hotline phone so that if something goes wrong, we can call her and see if we can find her in her retirement. So we just want to wish you the best, and on behalf of the Comprehensive Health Management Team, good luck.
Thank you, and congratulations. The next item is a recognition for years of service for Geraldine Danforth. Okay, and
there's a list of them. Good morning.
Good morning, Matt.
So the years of service, we have a couple people that are not in attendance, but I just want to give them recognition as well. Daniel Jordan, 25 years of service. Richard Clucky, 30 years of service, and Ellen King with 30 years of service as well. They're not in attendance, so I just wanted to give them an announcement. The first Years of Service Award is going to be going out to Daryl Matoxin. The supervisors, Mickey Pettigene, if you both come forward. I just want to give a little brief history. 25 years ago, the Oneida Nation Farms was founded. The Oneidas sent active duty personnel to Operation Desert Shield and Desert Storm. And back then, the tribe had 834 employees.
Daryl has provided 25 years of continuous commitment to the Oneida Daryl started out working in the bingo kitchen, and I'm not sure what the name of the bingo kitchen was. You have your little bingo. He then moved on to be custodial supervisor for the last 18 years, and from there he joined the cage vault department. And he worked as a cage vault supervisor for 4 years. Daryl now works in the vault as a vault leader. Excellent customer service skills and also an exceptional attendance record that we're all very proud of. Daryl, we appreciate your commitment to the organization and commend you for your dedication and years of service. Thank you.
Congratulations, Daryl, and thank you very much.
The next Years of Service Award is for 30 years of service, and this is for Barbara Matoxin, Supervisor's Pre-Leverance. And just a brief history on 30 years ago, the third floor of the Norbert Hills Center was converted into an Oneida retirement community. Construction began on the roadway end, and for the first time, the number of tribal employees went above 400 at 403.
Barb has provided 30 years of continuous commitment to the Oneida Tribe. Throughout the years, Barb was reassigned from the social services area to the income maintenance programs as a jobs counselor in June 1991. Then promoted to the position of W-2 manager in December 97, administering the state's W-2 and income maintenance programs. Then promoted to economic support programs manager shortly after 2005 when the tribe elected to administer the federal tribal TANF program. Barb continues in that capacity, directing her efforts, continuing to administer the income maintenance and tribal TANF programs. On behalf of the Oneida Tribe, the Oneida Business Committee is thankful to Barb for her unwavering dedication to the organization and community.
Congratulations, Barb.
And also with 30 years of service is Bruce Danforth. If Bruce is here,
morning, everybody. Well, I have the pleasure of actually making him come this morning. I was trying to do it under false pretenses, but I just couldn't do it anymore because I know he wouldn't show up. He knew something was up. So many of you know that Bruce, as a Department of Public Works director at this point, reports to the business committee, and the four officers are his direct supervisors. And I have the pleasure this morning of introducing him and congratulating him on his 30 years of service for the Oneida Nation as his niece, as well as the vice chairwoman. So Bruce has provided 30 years of continuous commitment to the Oneida Tribe and Development Division. His positions included utilities director, public works director, area manager, and now as the assistant development division director. That's 30 years of successful management experience. Some major accomplishments for Bruce are the development of the Oneida Total Integrated Enterprises, developing Department of Public Works operations, rebuilding of the utilities department, and implementing wastewater treatment systems to the Oneida housing sites, just to name a few. On behalf of the Oneida Tribe, we thank you for providing such meaningful services to the Oneida community and our citizens, and you have truly made a difference for the next seven generations. But we're not done. So 30 years ago, I was 10 years old when he started for the tribe. So I've always known him as my Uncle Bruce, and my Uncle Bruce has always been there for anybody who needed help. Many of you see his license plates. It's Mr. Bad, Bad Boy, Image, that kind of a thing. But I know him as my uncle. He is very compassionate. He's a lovable teddy bear. As long as he doesn't have his sunglasses on and driving around, he's a lovable teddy bear. And I really want to thank him for all the things that he does for our family and the community as well. He's always opened his home to those in need of having a sweat lodge. If you haven't been behind Bruce's house, he has a sweat lodge. So he opens that up to the members of the community as well as his home to those individuals who may need help in the spiritual realm. Or he also participates in the longhouse and is very instrumental in assisting people when they're in need of help. So I want to thank you for not only your years of service to the tribe, but your commitment to the community as well. Congratulations.
Congratulations, Bruce.
Thank you, Tina. And hired 35 years ago in 1980 is Doris Yelk Wilberg. 35 years ago, the minimum wage increased from $2.90 an hour to $3.10 an hour. All brands of cigarettes sold at the Oneida Tobacco Enterprise sold for $4.50 a carton. And I'm not lying about this one. An Oneida elder posted a note in the Galois Sox pleading for people to, quote, stay off my grass. The tribe at that time had 95 employees. And Doris Yelk Wilberg, 35 years of service.
I can't follow that up.
I don't expect him to.
I feel privileged to be able to give this honor to 35 years. She's actually been instrumental in helping us work over at Cowan, get travel and our community set that properly and working very well. But Doris really has provided 35 years of service of continuous commitment to the Oneida Tribe. Throughout the years, she's worked in accounting, she worked in gaming, Oneida housing, business management. Central Accounting Department. How many were there when you started?
Oh, maybe five or six.
Five or six is that small. She's actually viewed as a guru in assisting in completing tribal budgets as well. With that, I'd like to thank you very much.
Congratulations, Doris. Is that everybody? Okay.
Congratulations. Congratulations, Bruce.
Is that the old?
It is!
Well, they're going to be next, so they'll be done. They're next, yeah. Thank you again for your commitment to the tribe and for helping us grow to what we are today. The next item is the adoption of the agenda, and we will be doing some oath of offices. And just to note that the SEATS board members will be sworn in first when we do the oaths because they're on satellite, and then they don't have to continue to wait for us. So thank you for your patience, everybody. And again, congratulations to all the employees of the tribe. So at this time, there's adoption of the agenda. Yes, Lisa.
I'll make a motion to adopt the agenda with three noted changes. On page 205, letter 9C under Community Development Planning Committee, item number one, the date should read December 4th, 2014, not 15. Also on page 405, item Roman numeral number 16C, items number two and three, those dates should also read 2014, not 15.
Any other changes?
I'll second the motion.
If not, there is a motion by Lisa, second by Melinda, to adopt the agenda with the three noted changes for the dates. Any other questions or comments on the agenda? If not, motion to adopt the agenda. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Under oath of offices, we'll do the SEATS advisory board first. We have Christine Cottrell and Linda Langan on the satellite. Good morning, ladies.
Morning.
Good morning. Okay, good morning. So you have your oaths before you? Okay, so go ahead and raise your right hand and repeat after me. Aye, and then state your name. Hereby promise to uphold the laws and regulations of the Oneida Tribe of Indians of Wisconsin.
Hereby promise to uphold the laws and regulations of the Oneida Tribe of Indians of Wisconsin.
The General Tribal Council and the Tribal Constitution.
General Tribal Council and the Tribal Constitution.
I will perform my duties to the best of my ability and on behalf of the Oneida people. With honor, respect, dignity, and sincerity.
With honor, respect, dignity, and sincerity.
And will maintain confidential information with the strictest confidentiality.
And will maintain confidential information with the strictest confidentiality.
I will carry out the duties and responsibilities as a member of, and then state your board name. And all recommendations shall be made in the best interest of the Oneida Tribe as a whole.
All recommendations shall be made in the best interest of the Oneida Tribe as a whole.
Okay, congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations, ladies, and again, thank you for your patience.
Thank you.
You're welcome. There was a request earlier to mute the sound because we can hear them talking over there. So if you could do that, please. Thank you. Okay. And we will continue with the oath of offices. Next oath is for the Oneida Public Safety Pension Board, Sergeant Ron King, Jr., Sergeant Nathan Ness, Police School Liaison Officer Lyle Matotson and K-9 Officer Leonard Webster, please come forward. You're going to do all of them? Okay. We're going to do everybody as a group this morning. From the United Nations Veterans Affairs Committee, Nathan Smith, please come forward. Anna John Resident Centered Care Community Board, Tracy Smith and Carol Elm. Oneida Powwow Committee, Rosa Laster, Tanya Webster, and Jeremy King. Oneida Personnel Commission, Patricia Paulus. I believe actually we were going to repost that one, Patricia. Due to a requirement, we can only have two people from gaming, and you've most recently been hired since your application. And then from the Oneida Library Board, Kitty Melchert and Bridget John. Pardon and Forgiveness Screening Committee, Natalie Benton, Patricia Paulus, and Jeanette Ninham. And is James Flores here? From Seattle? It's okay. Thank you. Can you hang on a second for Pat? Congratulations. Again, thank all of you for volunteering to be on our boards and committees and commissions. The next item on our agenda is the approval of the minutes for January 14th.
Motion to approve.
Second.
There's a motion by Melinda, second by Fawn, to approve the January 14th regular meeting minutes. Any questions on those minutes? Comments? Hearing none. All those in favor of the minutes for January 14th, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item on the agenda is resolutions. There's a resolution to approve the TANF temporary assistance for needy families.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Lisa.
Motion to adopt the resolution for temporary assistance to needy families.
Second.
Motion by Lisa and second by Jenny to approve the TANF resolution. Questions or comments on the resolution? If none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is an adoption of the resolution for the Oneida Tribe's 2015 to 2016 Transportation Improvement Plan.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Jenny?
Make a motion to adopt resolution Oneida Tribe of Indians of Wisconsin 2015-2016 Transportation Improvement Plan.
It's a motion by Jenny and seconded by DeHasse to approve the 2015 to 16 Transportation Improvement Plan. Melinda?
I was just wondering if somebody could give us a quick overview of what that entails. I know what the TANF plan was, but I know we got the schedule in here. And thank you, Mike, for bringing this forward. And Troy, thanks.
Basically, the Transportation Improvement Plan is a yearly plan that's required under the Federal Highways Administration under the Tribal Transportation Program for tribes to receive their fair share of transportation dollars each year. Basically, it's a list of actual projects that will be funded in the upcoming years per the tribe's request.
So this year, one, I see you have it prioritized, 1 through 6, and then again, 1 through 7. So are all of these, oh, I see, 2015 and 2016.
Yes. Okay. And they require you to prioritize them, but actually you can move them around depending on which moves first.
And normally we receive the amount?
$927,000.
Has that been consistent?
Actually, we've been going up every year. I can't wait to get in front of you next year because we're going to be at the million dollar mark, and that's been my goal since 1996 to get you up to a million a year.
Awesome. I have no further questions.
Okay, Lisa?
Just as a side note, and I think I mentioned to you guys to this once before, I don't think it was this particular grant, but I did mention about us starting to really take a look at the Seminary Road issue over on that end of the reservation towards the south end. We do have something, and again, encouraging you to work with Legislative Affairs and your departments to look at what we need to do moving forward, and then maybe that's a consideration we can make for the next go-around, is to figure out how we're going to address the Seminary Road concern over where it meets Duck Creek by the bridge.
Okay. Actually, we had done that in the past with Becky Webster. It kind of died out, but I'd be more than glad to start it up again.
Please, thank you.
Any other questions or comments regarding the transportation plan? If not, all those in favor of the motion for the resolution, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next item on the agenda is a continuing resolution to close out the reports and recommendations. Lisa, do you want to address this item?
Yep, just very quickly, one of the things that the business committee dialogued about in one of our most current work meetings was we wanted to close out the continuing resolution by getting final reports from our direct reports, indicating the wrap-up of the resolution, because we had crossed over in January, so there wasn't time for them to get everything on prior to the budget meeting, because there were still some things that could have taken place. So what we're asking for today is for our direct reports to submit any final reports regarding the continuing resolution for the February 11th business committee agenda. And then we'd also wanted their feedback and for them to give us any kind of follow-up recommendations. Should we ever have to engage in this type of process in the future, what would their suggestions be? And we did get an initial series of recommendations for them, so this is kind of, now that we've gone through the process, reflecting on what had occurred, and then how can we make improvements in the future?
Melinda?
I'd also like to include in that report the operational impacts that being under the CR had for entities. For instance, were we, you know, maintenance of buildings were delayed, positions weren't hired, and potentially could have received additional funding. I'm just giving examples. I'm not saying that actually happened. But so I would like to know what the operational impacts are. So I'm going to motion to request the tribal secretary to issue a memorandum to our direct reports to submit final closeout reports to the February 11, 2015 business committee agenda to include less than operational impacts of the continuing resolution, any information pertaining to the exceptions that were made, and then any recommendations moving forward on how to improve the CR process.
Second.
There's a motion made and seconded for the secretary to put out a request for all the direct reports to address this item. And this item is to be brought back for the February 11th meeting. Motion is by Melinda and second by Lisa. Discussion, questions, comments? I do have a question about the communication. Is it only going to go to the direct reports? Because we have non-divisional areas that are not direct reports to the business committee, such as the Gaming Commission, the Judiciary Boards, Committees, and Commissions. I think it would be relevant to ask for the same information from those entities as well.
Sure, I can include that in my motion.
Concur.
And so the motion will be changed to reflect that non-divisional areas shall also be noticed to provide this information for February 11th. And the motioner and seconder has concurred with this change. Any other questions or comments on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next item is LLC. First item under the LLC is the minutes of December
3rd, 2014. Madam Chair.
Ms. Fawn?
Motion to approve the LLC meeting minutes of December 3rd, 2014.
There's a motion to approve the minutes of December 3rd, 2014. Is there support?
Support.
Support by DeHasse. Motion by Fawn. Questions or comments on the minutes? If none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next item is LLC meeting minutes of December 17th.
Madam Chair?
Yes, DeHasse.
Motion to accept the LLC minutes of December 17th, 2014.
Second.
The motion by DeHasse and second by Jenny to approve the minutes of December 17, 2014. Questions or comments on the December 17th minutes? If there are none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is the LLC meeting minutes of January 15.
Madam Chair?
Yes, DeHasse.
Motion to accept the LLC minutes of January 15, 2015.
Second.
Motion by DeHasse, second by Fawn, to accept the minutes of January 15th. Questions or comments on those minutes? If there are none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item on the agenda is the Finance Committee minutes, and the minutes for January 19th are for consideration.
Chair.
Trish?
I move to approve the Finance Committee meeting minutes of January 19th, 2015.
Second.
Motion by Trish, second by Jenny to approve the January 19th Finance Committee minutes. Questions or comments on those minutes? If there are none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Community Development Planning Committee. There are minutes for December 4th, 2014.
Madam Chair, motion to approve the December 4th, 2014 CDPC meeting minutes.
Second.
It's So motion by Fawn, second by DeHasi, to approve the CDPC minutes of December 4th, 2014. Questions or comments on the minutes? If there are none, all those in favor of the motion to approve the CDPC minutes of December 4th, 2014, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Next item are the meeting minutes for CDPC of January 7, 2015.
Madam Chair?
Jenny.
On page 71, should those minutes reflect January 7th instead of December 4th?
I don't know. I wasn't there, so someone else is going to have to.
Which one is that? What page?
On page 71. Electronic 71. It says Thursday, December 4, 2014, regular meeting minutes.
In my packet, it's electronic page 98, and it says regular meeting Wednesday, January 7th, 2015, Little Bear Development. I don't know if you.
They are located on page 98 of 394, the January 7th meeting minutes.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Jenny?
Move we approve the CDPC meeting notes of January 7th, 2015.
Second. There's a motion by Jenny, second by Fawn, to accept the meeting minutes for CDPC on January 7th, 2015. Questions or comments? Melinda?
Just a comment for the business committee members that are not on the Community Development Planning Committee. The Community Development Planning Committee, with this last meeting in January 7th, were reviewing the previous projects that the previous Community Development Planning Committee was undertaking in order for us to be able to determine whether or not we wanted to move forward with some of those projects or whether or not we actually needed to have those projects or issues on our agenda. In this coming month's meeting, we will be looking at reviewing the comprehensive plan, the Vision Oneida plan, along with the land use planning documents from a very broad strategic perspective. And we will then, after that, again, go through some of the major projects such as agriculture, the current BP site, the industrial park, along with the environmental projects that are occurring, like the lake, in order to be able to determine an agenda for the Community Development Planning Committee and the organization as a whole. The business committee also asked the CDPC to begin looking at infrastructure needs for housing development as well. So we're trying to be very strategic and looking at our governing documents, what did the community say during that process, and then trying to drive down to actual project specifics. So at the end of the day, we're hoping that the committee will have a document that says, this year, this is what the tribe's doing in terms of community development. Next year, this is what you can expect. The third year, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years out, this is what where the tribe is going to develop our community. And also not just the projects, but also the funding that goes with it. So that's what the committee asked us to do, and that's how we're proceeding. We know that we're on a very tight schedule. We have a budget deadline to get actual dollar figures into the budget by May of this year. So that's kind of how the next couple of months of CDPC is going to go. So the business committee members, we will send out the invitation to you to attend that meeting, and we would encourage participation. Because it will have, like I said, a financial budgetary impact at the end of the day, and then also the understanding of where we're headed, and that would be a very good, it would be very good if committee members, business committee members, could help us in that vision as well.
In your meeting minutes, it has two items under additions. One was the demolitions And it says handouts provided, the attachments, and the other one is BP site demolition. And it says it's completed and see attached report. Is there a copy for the minutes that goes with these for those handouts?
Sure, we can give those to you.
Can you give me a brief a synopsis of what those two items entailed?
The demolitions were a status report on the Anajon Nursing Home demolition, as well as the old tribal building. That was a month ago, and I don't recall any details. Anybody from CDPC recall the details? There was a report that was submitted. We can get that to you. And then the BP site demolition was just a status update on how the demolition of the BP went. And don't recall anything off the top of my head. Do you want to say?
I know the BP demolition had a over 100-page.
The BP demolition had, Pat Pelkey had submitted, emailed us all a report maybe a week ago, last week, a detailed report of the cost of the projects and what happened with all the material on the site and the current steps for the EPA review of the underground contamination. They're still in that evaluation process.
Does anybody recall the cost for the BP site demolition or the plan for it to do the cleanup of the brownfield?
Well, the brownfield cleanup will cost, approximately, I thought it was $700,000, but we are going after EPA grant funding for that. The Environmental Protection Agency has a brownfield program whereby they do offer dollars for sites that are considered brownfields for cleanup. So that's where DeHasse did mention that the review is being conducted now to determine whether or not we qualify for that, for the funding. But it's been deemed a brownfield site already, so.
Lisa?
And that information was submitted to all of us by Pat on the 21st via email, and the grant application was submitted for just over $65,000. The decision's going to come in June. And it does, the public meeting on the cleanup plan was December 1st of 2014, and then there will be additional community meetings when the cleanup is finalized in the summer of 2015. And that, again, information was sent to us by Pat on the 21st, and we all received it.
I understand that, but what I'm trying to get here is a community conversation here, because I'm being asked by community members questions about the cleanup, and even though we have a 100-page document on the email, we are being recorded. There's people in the audience, and I'm just trying to get a better reflection of what the BP site demolition has been about and what it continues to be going forward. We paid over $200,000 for the property, and I was just curious of what the current cost was to demo the building. There were questions about how that was funded. I heard you say, or somebody say, that we applied for $65,000 for a grant, and also heard that there's potentially going to be $700,000 to clean up the brownfield. And so there's a big gap between $65,000 and $700,000 to address this property. And that has been my concern for several years now, about acquiring a piece of property that is going to cost the tribe a lot of money to acquire and clean it up, cleaning up somebody else's mess, basically, to the tune of probably looking at $1 million now. I'm not sure if that was the best land acquisition that we've had in a while. I mean, we've done this to other properties in the past, and, I've been here a long time. Fortunately or unfortunately, and we have that whole history with what happened at the site, old Howard Johnson site, and several other sites that we've acquired. So I'm just trying to get more information, as a conversation here today, so that people in the community are aware of what we have engaged in from a land acquisition standpoint and what the commitment is to clean it up,
yep,
the cost and commitment.
Yeah, I think you make a good point about making sure that there's open information so that everybody has access to it, and there is information also on the tribe's homepage for that people can access, including the fact sheet about how much it's cost us and what we're doing as future steps. So the information has been out there, and I believe there was also something that went out, came out recently in the gully.
Okay, any other questions or comments for this item, the CDPC minutes? If not, all those in favor of the motion to accept the report, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you. Next item, quality of life. There's no report or action at this time. Following that is a general tribal council items. The first item is a petitioner from Madeline Genskow requests Saturday meeting to adjust four resolutions.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
This is a status report that was requested by the business committee. We accepted this petition on December 10th, and we asked for updates from the legislative, finance, and law offices in 30 days. We have received an update from the legislative reference office indicating that they will have something prepared for us to accept for the February 11th meeting. However, to date, we have not received an update from the law or finance offices. Generally, what occurs is that as each piece is done, it's passed on to the next office for them to use the information to help complete their piece of it. So for today, we're just asking for us to accept the status update from the legislative reference office.
I'll make that motion.
A motion by DeHassey, second by Jenny, to accept the update regarding the petitioner's four resolutions. Questions or comments on the status? If none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next GTC item is petitioner Yvonne Mativier raised employee salaries 99 cents for those under 65,000 and no layoffs. Yes, Lisa.
This petition was also received on December 10th, and we did ask for those status updates to be received. We have received the legal analysis and the legislative analysis on January 8th. The next step would be for us to receive the financial piece, and at that point, we would be, upon acceptance, we would be prepared to identify a date for this petition. So for today, we're only asking for us to accept the legal and legislative analyses that's been included and accept the status update from the finance area.
Is there a motion to that effect?
So moved.
Second. Motion by DeHassey and second by Fawn to accept the status update regarding the GTC petition for a 99 cent increase in wages for those under 65,000. Questions or comments on the report? If none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. Lisa, did you have something?
Just a follow-up comment for the committee. One of the things that I did commit to do is going back and speaking, working with the law office and the finance area to make sure that the first 30 days is a realistic timeline. We did have that meeting, and it did take place late last week. And one of the things that we did discuss was that there's an additional time that's actually needed to get everything moving, which we would increase the first initial days up to 45 days, so an additional 2 weeks. So just a note of that, the next any future petitions that will come in, they'll be coming forward with a request for the status update, the first one to be done in 45 days. So just as an FYI to the committee and to the community.
Okay, thank you. Questions or comments on this item? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is a request to approve the Business Committee and Trust Enrollment Committee Memorandum of Agreement, which includes the Enrollment Committee to be added to this MOA. Is there a legal review of this? I know it's changing, adding enrollment, and I can't remember the history on this about why we separated the two departments. I don't know if it was to because of their the responsibilities are significant enough from one another that, you know, trust is handling the management of the funds, and then enrollment is the management of tribal members. But is there a statement of effect or anything to go with this resolution?
There's not a statement of effect because it's not a resolution. It's just a memorandum of agreement that you would be adopting. Most of the changes are, one part of the change is because the previous one was expiring, and this is a new business committee, so we needed to do a new memorandum of agreement. And then they are restructuring so that the trust enrollment, it's now a trust enrollment committee. I'm not exactly sure why they were divided in the past. Maybe Carol can speak to that.
Well, at one time, the direction that the enrollment department and the trust department were going were more separate. And then with technology and time, we found out that they're actually doing a lot of work together. So rather than separate, we wanted to combine them so that they could utilize the same information with the enrollment department having the information with the minors, the trust department handling the trust funds for the minors, enrollment department having the information for the elders, and the trust department handling the taking care of the elders' trust funds. So rather than separated, we decided that it would be in the best interest of both of the departments to combine. And that's one of the changes in the MOA, is to acknowledge that enrollment the trust enrollment department, or trust enrollment committee.
Because there was also a departmental change. They used to be separate as well, but now the head of enrollments reports to the head of trust department. So Cheryl Skolaski now reports to Susan White. So it recognizes all those changes, not only within the committee itself, but the two departments as well. And there is, I know that they're working also on being housed together eventually, that they wouldn't be in separate places, because they believe trust is in Shenandoah at this time, and enrollments is just down the road. So I know that they're also working so that they're housed together, so that they can work together better. So.
Okay. Go ahead, Fawn.
I was just thinking, where would, is there any plans for that? Any collaboration for any facility? Any discussion on that?
We were looking at possibly Ridgeview when that was vacated. However, there seems to be some problems at that building, so we're still looking. We have a request into the facilities management. Thank you. To find a facility.
Well, I know in the past the issue has been that the community wants the enrollment department to stay in Oneida, not to move it to Green Bay, and I think that's why it stays in that building. And at the time, you know, that was a consideration that worked, because it was strictly enrollments for the purposes of people applying for enrollment and getting verification. And now that there's a trust department that moved, I don't know where they moved from before they were at Shenandoah, so it makes it a larger entity. I'm not sure about space, not so much about the people, but storing the records and needs for meetings. So it's probably going to be an issue going forward. But I think at this point, they're going to have to remain separate. Any other questions or comments? Okay, thank you. All those in favor of the motion to amend the MOA for the Oneida Trust Enrollment Committee and the Oneida Business Committee, is there a motion?
I'll make that motion. To approve the Oneida Business Committee and Oneida Trust Enrollment Committee Memorandum of Agreement.
A motion by Fawn, second by Trish, to approve the amendment to the MOA for the Trust Enrollment Committee and the Business Committee. And Melinda, did you have a question?
Yeah, I just have a quick question. I know, and I apologize for not being able to attend the last Trust Committee meeting, but I know there was discussion about the 75%. I mean, did the committee at that time just agree to move forward, continue with the 75%? I'm assuming so because it's not changed. Or was there still disagreement? I just want to know moving forward. So,
Madam Chair?
Yes, Trish.
We did discuss that. We revised it because the trust committee had originally declined the request. However, it wasn't a formal request. It was just a meeting of the minds. So now we're asking, they asked me to put a written formal request to them, and they'll address it at their next, whenever we get it to them. So, and that would be to actually change the amount of the trust fund for administering the trust funds. That's all it's for. It's not for operating the office.
Okay, so we'd still be responsible for 75% of the trust committee's budget?
Currently, yes.
Okay.
We hope to change that for fiscal year 16.
And then also in the memorandum, under the chair, it has Carol Liggins as the chair, and then it has Ed Delgado's name crossed out, so you should insert Christina's name, Christina Danforth, into that.
It is redlined, yeah.
So. Right, but they didn't put your name on there.
Okay.
Just add your name.
Any other questions or comments on this item? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion. One abstention with Jenny Webster. Motion carries. The next item is under new business, approved school board vacancy reposting. Vaughn?
This was brought up because they only had one applicant and they want to repost it again. For a larger pool, for more people to apply. So, can I make a motion?
You want to make a motion, Fawn?
Yep. Motion for the school board to request to post one vacancy.
Is this an at-large vacancy or as parent?
Debbie, do you know if this is a at-large or parent position? That we're posting, that you're requesting a post for?
I will have to verify, but I believe it isn't at large, but I will verify to make sure that we're correct.
I guess they think it's for an at-large position, and it's important because it changes the qualification for applicants, and it also changes the notice. So we want to make sure it's noticed appropriately if it's an at-large position for the school board or if it's a parent position on the school board. Debbie?
It is a parent position.
Is a parent position?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. All right, the motion by Fawn. Who is the seconder?
Two. I think there was one.
Okay.
I'll second.
Motion by Fawn, second by DeHasse to approve a posting for a parent position on the school board. Questions or comments? If none, all those in favor of the motion to post for a parent position on the school board, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is a request for a report on a purchase and distribution of the Packer playoff tickets. We have a report for the committee's consideration. This request for a purchase and distribution of Packer playoff tickets was from a memo dated January 10th. And so I did a short synopsis of what entailed with the Packer tickets for the January 11th. The officers met on January 6th, and the majority officers voiced their agreement to purchase 6 tickets in accordance with the Green Bay Packer agreement to be used for government-to-government relations. I directed my staff to contact Sarah Webb at Lambeau Field on January 6th following the meeting about the availability of the 6 tickets. The information relayed to my staff was that April Scandidore from the Tribal Secretary's office had called regarding the same. The Green Bay Packers representative Sarah Webb mentioned a PO could be issued but preferred a credit card. Given the date and time, I gave approval for my staff to put it on BC credit card, which is, of course, in my name, as the window for purchase and contacting tribal chairs to attend was closing. No agreement was made during the officers' meeting as to who would be contacting Sarah or whether or not the ticket purchase would be made from a PO or a credit card. The business committee was called and held outside of established protocol on January 9th at 3 o'clock with no meeting minutes provided to date. So on Friday the 9th, about 12:30, there was an email notice for a 3 o'clock meeting. Various BC committee members declined tickets offered to them to be amongst other tribal leaders who were invited. Tribal leaders who attended were Chris McGeesick, chairman of Great Lakes Center Tribal Council and the Sacagan Tribe, Scott Veely, executive director of Midwest Alliance of Sovereign Tribes, Joe Zach, Cottingham and Butler, Crystal Chevalier, vice chairwoman of the Menominee Tribe and her guests, and then there is attached the ensuing emails. And as the chairwoman of the tribe, I welcome the opportunity to discuss the attached emails in the General Tribal Council meeting forum. In that light, I feel it is appropriate to bring other examples to the table for comparison as well. So there is the attachments of the emails that went back and forth between Wednesday and Saturday, I mean up to probably even Sunday morning, about the distribution of the tickets. I did send the email out on Saturday stating who I finally got in contact with to attend the function. While at the Packer game with the invited guests, I did visit the 2 tribal suites. Tribe furnished 2 suites at the Packer game, and I met with Ms. Luttrell and Mr. Danforth, who both are hostesses for gaming, in which they entertained gaming guests at the 2 suites. There are about 15 tickets unaccounted for this playoff game. My staff has been reviewing the information provided by Joni Buckley. There's 245 pages of information that we sifted through, and out of those 245 pages, there's about 66 tickets unaccounted for. In those pages of information, there's also a notice that other business committee members have attended Packer games for this Packer season. So I don't feel that there was anything out of the ordinary that was occurred with my attending this event and inviting tribal leaders. That was my understanding from the officers' meeting. Whether or not they're purchased by credit card or PO, I don't think it's relevant. The fact was that it was agreed upon to acquire the tickets and to use it for governmental relations, and that is what transpired. And that's my report. Melinda?
I guess I'll start the conversation because I was in the business committee officers meeting when we discussed this issue, and last BC meeting, the business committee went over the BC officers meeting minutes with everybody present. And when we discussed this issue, the action taken and the action in reflecting, I guess our understanding isn't the same. Because in the minutes, we talked about, yes, we determined that there were six tickets that were available. The consensus was not to turn back the tickets because they were offered to us under contract. However, there was a contingency placed upon that we would need to gain BC consensus of how to proceed, and that there needed to be a distribution plan approved prior to the purchase. So in the officer's minutes, Lisa was to send an email to the business committee, which she did, with a recommendation from the BC officers to retain the tickets through two options. First, the business committee would purchase the tickets for business or government-to-government purposes, and or allow individuals to purchase the tickets because we didn't want to turn them back. Lisa was also supposed to talk with Pogge regarding the business committee budget to see if there were monies available to purchase if the BC authorized option one. And so also there was mentioned in the email from Joni that there was a policy or resolution that directs how the tickets are distributed and how the tickets could be utilized. And it was thought that at that time that the resolution was for revenue generating purposes only. So those were the follow-ups that came from the BC officers, and these minutes were presented to the business committee at the last meeting and were accepted, and there was no discussion or argument about that. So I guess the discrepancy is within your report. Mm-hmm. In your report, you say the BC officers agreed to purchase the tickets. We did not. We agreed to two options. One was, yes, potentially purchasing the tickets for business to government purposes, or to allow individuals to purchase, but we had not made that decision because Lisa was supposed to have sent out an email to the business committee. And the tickets were purchased prior to the business committee's agreement. And I did not authorize the purchase of the credit card or the tickets on the credit card. I did not authorize the purchase at all because we were supposed to meet and discuss whether or not how we were going to distribute the tickets and also if we were going to purchase them in the end. I know we all agreed that we weren't going to turn them back, and that actually that was by majority. Not everybody agreed with that sentiment. So I disagree with components of the memo, Tina, because that's what the minutes reflect. And we went over those minutes at the last 2 weeks ago, and there was no disagreement about those minutes. There was no discussion. That was my understanding walking out of that meeting on January 6th, and all the documentation, the emails, all of the information reflect that we never agreed to, say, move forward and purchase those tickets. And so, therefore, from my perspective, I would deem it an unauthorized purchase at this point.
Lisa, and then Wes.
Yeah. And I appreciate you putting the chronology of events together from your perspective. However, I do need to agree with the vice chairwoman at this time, because that is the way that you have this laid out. While the components are accurate, the order in which things occurred were not necessarily accurate. And I think Melinda did a good job of recapping, I guess, from my perspective and the officer's perspective, what had actually occurred. And I know that we've had the additional communication. I am very disappointed, I guess, that the email that I originally sent out to the whole committee, framing out our conversation in the officer's meeting and asking for their input and feedback, wasn't included in the other emails that you used for backup material. So for the record, I would like that email also included so that it's noted that I followed up with the part that I was supposed to do on behalf of the committee and on behalf of the officers to request the information and for us to drive consensus. And, you know, I guess this is where I also want to take the opportunity to say that while we disagree with our perception of how things occurred, I think for myself, what was disappointing about this, the way this decision happened, was that for me, it violated almost every single one of our agreements that we came to together. And there's a big poster of them over here to my left, which talks about how we are going to support the decisions of the team, that we are going to leave our titles at the door, and that we're working on a level playing field, and that we're delivering the mail to the right address, meaning we're going to the source when we need to. We're going to assume the best in one another. We're going to check our attitudes at the door. We're going to stay focused on the issues, not people. We're not going to take our decisions personally, and we're going to maintain our core values. So for me, especially our agreement that we had to make decisions, major decisions, by consensus, for me, I felt that was also violated. So I guess I just need to put it out there, and I think we just have a very different understanding of what occurred, and I'm looking for us to try to move forward in the best way possible. One of the things that we've been committed to as a committee is accountability, and I believe that accountability needs to start with us, because if we don't have it here at this table, we can't expect it from anybody else in the operations. So I want to include that statement for the record, please.
Wes?
Thank you. Wes Martin. My concern, just hearing you, and at the GTC, there was one Marilyn Jenkel brought up and about it, and we talked about the budget. And I had indicated in that I was in there because I went through that budget. I went to the library, and I looked at that budget, and as I stated there, there's line items that are not broken down to tell what is there. And the reason I was looking at it was what you basically said is it sounds like we have two Packer boxes, yet I could only find one by the gaming, which I understand is justified, is because that they do it for the high rollers, whatever. There's a process that money come back. And now I'm hearing there's a second box that when I talk to people, nobody knows about it. And what is it being? Are we under contractual agreement with the Packers? How much money are we giving the Packers? And you ask us to cut our budgets, and we're finding out there's these other things, but we can't find it in the budget. You know, and where are these line items? And, you know, that's all I'm asking. Is if you're asking that the core values and that are there, I'm asking, is this transparency too? Is somebody to explain where is this second box and how did that come by and who manages it, whatever. I couldn't find it in the budget.
Lisa?
Just real quick, Wes, Tina did mention a little bit earlier that we had, like, I think it was like 300 and some or 400 some pages that were submitted to us that gave us a comprehensive report on the contract, the performance of the contract itself and how the tickets were distributed. And I think, I know for myself, I'm still in the process of going through all of those. So I think that's one of the questions that I've been hearing as well, is to make sure that we're clear about what we actually have in that contract and how those tickets are being used to perform for the operations and generate revenue for the tribe. So I've made a note of that, and we'll make sure that we get that cleared up because it's, you know, I think you're right, it's a little bit unclear for us. So we'll get through those. It's just going to take us a little bit of time. It's a lot of reading to go through.
I guess I'm just going to reiterate. It was my understanding the officers agreed to purchase the tickets. We did not discuss specifically how to acquire them, whether they would be by credit card or purchase order or otherwise. It is not as relevant as the fact that there was agreement to do such, which was to acquire the tickets. The discussion with the officers was also to use them for governmental purposes. That is what my understanding was walking away from the meeting on Tuesday afternoon at the end of the day. We were also told we had till Wednesday noon to purchase the tickets, and that's why I asked my staff to follow up, which she did Wednesday afternoon, and at that point is when the conversation with Sarah from the Packers organization was about how to do the purchase of the tickets. There were two options. So I did it based on my understanding of what was agreed upon. Again, a meeting was called on Friday at 3 o'clock to talk about how to distribute the six tickets. We knew on Thursday that they were acquired by the emails. And so I did ask the four council members if they were interested in attending. They basically declined. And Jenny then at that point told me on Friday through my staff that there was a 3 o'clock meeting, and I found that out at 3:05. So, you know, this all happened in a very short time frame. And so, yeah, obviously there's discrepancies of understanding, And obviously there are gaps in communication and there are emails that reflect that, obviously. So again, I did what I was understanding was the agreement of the officers. And again, it was done on short notice. And I don't feel that I acted outside of my scope of authority. So, Lisa?
Since the email, one of the things that, as described by the vice chairwoman, was for myself to send the correspondence out to the business committee based asking them to follow up on our questions or our decision on the officers' meeting from the day before. Since that's not been included in the report, I do want to read it very quickly into the record. It was sent on January 7th, and it's to the entire business committee, and it states, "Good morning. Yesterday afternoon, it was brought to the officers' attention and confirmed that the playoff tickets provided to the tribe in our contract, there were 6 playoff tickets left that are available for Sunday's game against the Lions. The tickets are club seats and cost $293 each for a total of $1,758. The officers had lengthy discussion and preliminarily determined the tribe should not turn back the tickets. The question we have for the business committee is threefold. Should the tribe allow the tickets to be turned back? Officers agreed no. 1, if we retain the tickets, the remaining 6 tickets, does the tribe buy them and use them for business purposes at our level? 3, if we retain the remaining 6 tickets, do we allow individuals to buy them? We have not determined who the individuals would be or how they would be distributed. There was a question about a policy or resolution which identified how the tickets could be used if retained. The staff and I have been unable to locate a policy or resolution on this. However, there are departments with SOPs in place which determine they should be used for revenue generation purposes. Please let me know your thoughts by 11 a.m. so that we can contact the coordinator by the deadline. Thank you." So that was the one email that wasn't included in the report. So I just wanted to make it clear, because it's an important piece of the communication that was immediately made to the business committee regarding the decision and the majority decision that we had made previously about going ahead. So,
what was the date of that?
1/7.
1/7. I did not see that. I seen the minutes on from the officers on 1/13, which was 2 days after the event occurred. Trish.
My concern is in regards to not that we agreed or disagreed. I understand the value of having relationships with other governments and trying to keep that relationship open and the chair's authority to do such things. However, the concern that I have is in regards to our travel policy. Our travel policy has a section in it that doesn't allow for any kind of purchases other than travel business. So that is important in how we process this, and that was also another reason why we questioned what options do we have and how do we purchase. We can always, if we had approved it, we could have done a hand check. So that would have been the proper way to do things. And we understand that things happened quickly. We had less than 24 hours to make a decision. And we tried to communicate to the best of our ability. I disagreed with the acquisition, one, because it was unbudgeted. There was no funds identified of where we were going to get the funds from. The secretary's office was also asked to check on our special events budget line and didn't get back to us yet before she had sent out the email to asking if we should purchase them. So all of these things unfolded quickly. And then the communication from your office, what your understanding that you could go ahead and acquire the tickets, and then actually acting, I would have appreciated just being notified that you were going to take that action. I think that communication would have alleviated any frustration, any hard feelings. And that's just asking to be communicated with as a courtesy to the committee. I think And I sent out the email stating that I thought the use of the credit card was inappropriate. And the policy requires that research be done. And I was waiting for this report because you responded that you would follow up with me on that following Monday and hadn't. So I was waiting for this meeting, this report, I'm sorry, and to get the justification for it. I still see that there needs to be approval of the business committee for the acquisition, and it would have to be retro approval. I am also respectfully requesting the business committee to consider that the, or to direct that the funds come from the special projects business expense of the business committee's line, and that in the future, I would like to make clear, because there is a resolution that amends the travel policy that says the travel, the credit card can't be used for anything for acquisition, for travel, for business use, and that was on 8608. So and I just, that amended the travel the credit card section of the travel policy. So I want to be able to use and make an amendment to the travel policy as in a motion, I guess, to request or direct the law office to create an enforcement section, because as we were looking through this, the enforcement is pretty weak. And again, as the secretary has said, there's no, there's not enough process involved to identify whether it's misuse. There's not enough clarification, so I would like an amendment to the policy that identifies an enforcement mechanism, and that moving forward, this will be a zero tolerance kind of an expense. And because the expense policy not only refers to the business committee, it also refers to employees who have credit cards, that language in there would have to verify that also. I think moving forward, we can make sure that this type of miscommunication or non-understanding has to be verified through the business committee first, or acted on through the business committee prior to any activity. I guess that's what I would ask for consideration.
Okay, Jacob?
I just have a couple questions. So if the credit card can't be used according to the travel policy, but there was an agreement to purchase the tickets, was there any other options of another way to purchase the tickets?
Yes, we could have put it through the what we call a hand check process. And if the business committee would approve the acquisition, because it was unbudgeted for, they would have had to identify where it would come from and then process it through the accounting office. And we.
How long does that take?
Phone call.
Phone call? Okay. Because if there's a deadline and no one is making an agreement on the way to purchase the tickets, then, and there's a previous agreement to purchase the tickets, then my understanding would be find the best way to purchase the tickets, because you guys came to a consensus to do just that.
That's not true, that's Jacob. We didn't come to an agreement to purchase the tickets.
What's
we
the difference? What's the difference between?
We came to an agreement that we would not turn the tickets back.
Right. What's the difference between that and actually purchasing the tickets? So
I just read you consensus. This is from the minutes of the BC officers meeting that were approved 2 weeks ago. Everybody was in attendance at that meeting that approved it. Consensus was not to turn back the tickets. The tickets were offered because the tickets were offered under contract. We didn't want to turn any tickets that were offered under contract. However means contingent upon or however, we would need to gain BC consensus, and a distribution plan for the tickets would need to be approved prior to the purchase. There was no consensus to purchase them. Lisa was to send an email to the business committee with a recommendation from the BC officers to retain the tickets through two options. First, the business committee purchases the tickets for business or government-to-government purposes, and second, allow individuals to purchase tickets. And we didn't know how that was going to go. We didn't know.
Did the email go out to talk about that?
Yes.
Well, I didn't see it again. And the fact is, there was agreement. I think everybody says it to some degree. There was an agreement to acquire the tickets, to not turn them back. Even in Trish's email, she said, I agree that if the business committee gave authorization that the tickets should be used for revenue-generating purposes. So she said she agrees. She said, at the meeting, three officers agreed to not turn back the tickets and to prepare a plan of action how to disperse the tickets.
Right.
A meeting was called on Friday at 3 o'clock, which gives you 1 hour less and the work week to get the tickets out. You know, there was not a lot of time between Wednesday, Thursday, when they were actually received, and then Friday, a meeting to talk about that. So we're really just splitting hairs here is all we're doing. You know, these are just six tickets out of 70-some tickets that were acquired for the playoff game. Also, at General Travel Council, and 2 weeks ago, there was a question about the Packer playoff costs, and it was $150,000 set aside by the business committee for the Packer playoff game. So that would make logical sense that the six tickets would come out at $150,000 set aside for the playoff game. There is money to do that. The other place that the money can come from these six tickets is through business expense. Travel credit cards are allowed to be used for business expense. Travel credit cards are not limited to travel. When you're on authorized travel, yes, you can use your credit card while you're traveling. But the credit card is also used for other things. And for gas, for meeting expense, for meals, for activities, that is all business expense. That historically has been the use of credit cards. And there is a whole history, documented history, that the credit cards are used for business expense. If I'm taking a group of tribal leaders or government officials or business people to dinner or to lunch or to an activity, I can use the travel credit card, verify that I took them, and it gets reconciled. There is no further approval for that. And that has been historical. That has been the trend that has been happening from day one that I've been on this committee since we've had credit cards. So it's not limited to the travel policy. Jacob?
And I'd also like to bring up the fact that, the 66 tickets are in the regular season unaccounted for. If there's no accountability for those 66 tickets, why is there all of a sudden accountability necessary, which according to the chairwoman's presentation seems pretty transparent. Why is that there was accountability? What's the difference between those 66 tickets that are unaccounted for and the six tickets that are accounted for now?
And I agree with that statement because, you know, I'm being held to a certain standard when there's all these outstanding unaccounted for tickets currently. Even as of that playoff game, there's 15 tickets unaccounted for
and
for that playoff game.
Who's to say that those tickets were used for intertribal government affairs?
That's true as well. I'm going to go to Brad, and then to Lisa,
and
then to Melinda. Thank you, Jacob.
I agree and disagree with what you're saying here. How much money was actually put out for tickets, and how many tickets?
Six tickets at $293 a piece.
No, how many tickets total for the year?
We just got that report in. It's about, 300 pages long? We have six emails. We haven't gotten through that yet.
If you want to purchase these six tickets, you still would have had to pay for them, right?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So what's the argument?
The argument?
Either way, you had to pay for them.
Right.
We didn't
but
have
I'm
to
not,
pay for them.
I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not a Packer fan. I don't agree with this Packer stuff all the time. You know, you got a big Packer symbol on the golf course. Did they pay for that, or did we pay for it? You know, all this Packer, Packer, Packer. That's all you hear about. You know, if we had to pay for the six tickets, what's the problem? They got used, right?
We didn't have to pay for the six tickets. That's the problem.
If you want, you had them reserved, right?
No, we didn't. They were offered to us to purchase under our contract.
But
we didn't have to do it.
Trisha's sitting here saying this time frame. I understand what Tina's saying. You had, from Wednesday to Friday.
Right.
Well, it took her 16 weeks to get us a budget. I mean, and it wasn't a complete budget. It wasn't a done budget. There's a lot of discrepancies in there. Now, you're sitting here arguing about six tickets that already has been taken care of or you have money for, but yet we couldn't do a budget properly? Come on, let's get straight here. Let's get our heads out of the ball games. Let's get into the tribal affairs, the tribal money, And let's quit putting out money that doesn't need to be put out. That $150,000 could have went to something else. You're cutting elders, the children, and health services. But yet you're giving money to the Packers? What did they give us? You know, let's get our priorities right here. Enough with the Packer stuff. Keep the money here where it belongs. Quit cutting our budgets, quit cutting our throats, and do what's right for this tribe. Enough is enough. Thank you.
Lisa?
Okay. Well, first and foremost, I think, again, because the report, I appreciate, again, the report that you put together and some of the things, but I still think there's things that aren't included in here. One of them is the fact that the only decision that needed to be made by Wednesday was whether or not we wanted to actually acquire the tickets. So that's I think, a strong misunderstanding that there is about the situation, because the only decision that we needed to make was whether or not we wanted to accept them. There was no requirement for us to actually purchase the tickets by a certain deadline, only to identify that we wanted to retain them. The other thing is, too, I think it's important for all of us to be reminded that before we could have any kind of real discussion about what we wanted to do as a committee, we were notified through secondhand information that this transaction was already completed. So, you know, Tina, you noted a couple times that we didn't meet till Thursday, when in actuality, we met on Thursday to try to figure out what was actually going on, because at that point, everything had already taken place without any kind of notification to us. So I have to echo Trisha's request that, you know, in the future, when those types of things occur, it would be really appreciated if we got notice from your office to say, you know, FYI, you know, this took place and I had to get this done, so that we're aware of what's happening. And, you know, that's something that we all need to take responsibility for. And I think the committee did a good job of sending out the information, sending out requests for information to you, and looking for answers. And you're absolutely right. You, when you finally were able to get to it on Saturday, you know, you let us know what was happening from a, just from a who was attending perspective. But at that point, we still hadn't heard about, you know, what activities had taken place during the day on Wednesday and Thursday, because everything did happen in a very short amount of time. So that's, you know, even more important for us to be open about what's taking place when there's, when we're in those time crunches. The other thing is, you know, the travel policy from my perspective is very clear. It does say that it's for travel use only, and I'm not sure, you know, I guess if those things had occurred that you described in the past, I'm not 100% familiar with that. And again, when we came into office, we said we were going to set a new standard. We were going to set a new set of, we were going to set the expectation and the bar high. And that goes back to our actions right here and right now, because there's nothing we can do about what happened in the past. That's there, and there's nothing we can do to change that. If something happened that wasn't supposed to, I can't go backwards and fix that. None of us can. But we can moving forward, and we can fix things moving forward as we need to. You know, and as far as I want to stick to the topic of the report itself. I don't want to get distracted by these other things, because your office has done a significant amount of research on the report that was given to us and identified that there are 66 tickets unaccounted for. I think that because you've identified that, you have the responsibility to bring that to us. And we've been very diligent about making sure that when issues are identified and brought to us, that we're addressing them. So thank you for that, identifying those, that there's unaccounted for tickets, because we need to know that, and we need to have that brought to our attention so that we can address it with the appropriate parties. But for right now, for this particular report, I think we need to stick to the topic, and we need to figure out how we want to proceed in the best way possible moving forward, so that this type of misunderstanding doesn't occur again in the future.
Well, I agree. There are a lot of discrepancies in the communication and the flow of how things occurred. Committee, the officers met on Tuesday at about 4:15 on this item. We were told we had a noon deadline on Wednesday. There were two funerals that I attended on Wednesday, and I had other meetings that I went to on Wednesday. When I returned back to my office Wednesday afternoon is when I asked my staff if the acquisition of the tickets had occurred or not. So she called, and when she called, you know, like I said in my report, Sarah Webb said she was waiting for April Skinner to call her back, and we said, well, so they haven't been purchased yet. She said no. So already there was an inquiry about purchasing the tickets before my office contacted the Packer organization. So that is a clear inference can be drawn that there was intent to buy these tickets by the time I had already called, because April had already had phone exchanges with Sarah Webb. So the intent was already established to acquire the tickets. At that point, my staff asked Sarah what was the best way, and Sarah said a credit card over a PO, because it's a lengthy process to do a PO. And she needed to either allow the tickets to be acquired by the tribe or whoever else was next on her list. So we used the tribal credit card. I gave Mary my tribal credit card, and she gave the information to Sarah. They were not processed till the next day, on Thursday, and we got them Thursday afternoon. So we had the remainder of Thursday afternoon and some of Friday to invite tribal leaders and guests to attend the event. And on Friday, there were still tickets unaccounted for as far as who was going to be using them. And my office, through Mary, put out a text message to the remaining council members to see if they were interested in attending. Granted, there's only six tickets, so if we all go, then there's no need to invite guests. But they were declined. Everybody declined them. So then I continued to make phone calls. I invited three other tribal chairs of the state to attend. They declined. I ended up with a vice chair, a chairman, and the mass director. And so I did the best I could to utilize these tickets in agreement to what we discussed on Tuesday, which was governmental relations. And, there's, I think, even a misunderstanding between the four of us, because Trish says revenue generation. I said government relations, because that would be more appropriate for us. That's what I said on Tuesday. That's not what's reflected in emails. So there are discrepancies back and forth to the emails. That's totally understood by me. Everybody is saying something similar and saying something different at the same time. And, again, the minutes for the Tuesday meeting didn't come to the business committee until the following Tuesday after the event occurred, which then was a synopsis of the person who wrote the minutes. So in the meantime, there's exchange of emails, several emails, even more than what I provided today. So, yeah, there's some discrepancy about how we all understood what we were going to do. I acted in the best interest of what was decided, and that's all that I have to say is that there is money identified where the tickets can be paid for. They can be paid from special projects. They can be paid from special events. They can be paid from business expense. They can be paid from the $150,000 set aside for the Packer playoff. There are several pools of money where this acquisition can come from. It's just a matter of deciding how you want to reconcile it. So I think that's the main issue. And, yeah, there are a lot of issues stemming from the distribution of tickets overall, because this was only one of six of 77 tickets or more for that particular game. And I was working. I didn't abuse anything. I was working. I invited governmental officials. I went and visited the two Packer suites that the tribe has acquired. I went and met with the customers in both the suites. I talked to the hostesses of both suites. So, I missed half of the game just because I'm talking to people about relationships between the tribe, both from a government standpoint and a business standpoint. So I don't feel I abused anything. If anything, I did my job as diligently as possible. Melinda?
I guess I don't. This is where, there's misunderstandings. And, you just inferred that I'm writing the minutes from my own perspective, and that's it. Well, yeah, I'm the note taker. I take notes for the BC officers. But we also review them together in executive session 2 weeks ago, and there was no discussion on any kind of discrepancies. All the business committee officers were present, and nobody had any problems with what was written in those minutes. So from my perspective, although you say that that's how you acted, I honestly, I disagree. So I'm going to make a motion. I'm going to make a motion to decline the report, as the report has several inaccuracies and discrepancies, and deem that the purchase of the 6 Packer tickets on the chairwoman's credit card be deemed as unauthorized.
Second.
There's a motion by Melinda and seconded by Lisa to decline the report because she believes there's inaccuracies, but to decline the report and deem the authorization of the credit card unauthorized and deem it unauthorized expense. So that is the motion. Discussion, questions, comments. First of all, my report is as accurate as I can make it. And I disagree. It's obvious what my report includes officer emails. So if I'm inaccurate, my report's inaccurate, they're inaccurate. So it's not just, the onus is not just on myself. And to deem it unauthorized, I think, is not appropriate. So that's all I'm going to say. Fawn?
I guess just from my perspective, I got the officer's meeting minutes. Was that Tuesday? Mm-hmm. And then it just said by Wednesday at 11, we were supposed to give feedback as council members of what we should do with the tickets. And then I emailed back and saying that they should go to UWGB women's basketball program because they're one of our new venues with Thornberry. So, but I didn't see any of that in the report. I guess I don't know the whole travel policy either, but I just thought that the travel credit card is for travel. So that's kind of where it's, I don't know, not black and white, I guess. And then how do we keep ourselves accountable for things like this? What happens to us if this should arise again? Or has it happened in the past? What happened to those council people that were held accountable? I guess being a new business committee, that we should, you know, set the standards on what we want and keep each other accountable. Thank you.
Anybody else? Jenny, Brad, and then I'm sorry, I forgot your name from the police commission.
Sandy.
I had a question. There's 4 people identified for the 6 tickets. 4 people identified yourself. Who was that 6th ticket for?
If you go to my report, it says tribal leaders who attended were 1, Chris McGeesick, chairman of Great Lakes in Secaugan; 2, Scott Veely, executive director of MAST; 3, Joe Zach, Cottingham and Butler; 4, Crystal Chevalier, vice chairwoman of the Menominee Tribe; and 5 was her guest. I make number 6.
Okay. Do you know who her guest was?
His name is Michael Chevalier. That is her husband. I had 1 last ticket, and again, that last ticket was offered to all 4 council members, and they declined. I ran out of time, and so I allowed her to bring a guest. Brad, or did you have any other questions, Jenny? Brad?
First of all, you said there's 66 tickets unaccountable, but yet the chair is showing what she did in a short amount of time. She used them. It was government to government. I'd be more worried about what happened with the other 66. Now, like I said, why are you railroading her? This has occurred many, many times over the years with these credit cards, and I agree with Tina. They've been used for more than just travel. You know that, Trish. You've been on the committee before. I've been at this game same as you, 30-plus years. I remember what goes on. So why are you railroading her? Pay the tickets? Yet I pay for them anyways. So can I get a copy of this report, Madam Chair?
There's some in the back of the room on the table.
Oh, all right. Thank you.
Anybody else? Ms. Sandy?
Sandra Ravelas. I do understand that you want to be accountable for how you spend your money and who should use the credit card and not use the credit card. But if you haven't gotten something down in black and white that has a list of rules on how to use that card and not use the card, I believe that the Madam Chairwoman used the card appropriately and she should be reimbursed. She has accounted how she used these tickets. She has given you the names and the reasons these people got to use the tickets. So I think she should be reimbursed, and I think that you now need to sit down together and make the rules. It's too late now to say, well, we did it this way before, we're going to do it this way now, if it's not down in black and white. And be more concerned about the other tickets that we don't know where they're at. At least you know where these six are at. Thank you.
Thank you, Sandy. Trisha.
First of all, I want to thank everybody for their comments and their concerns. One of the things that I did as this was taken off, I did send out an email to the business committee asking them, and this was on January 7th, that although I was not in support of purchasing additional tickets due to the tribe already receiving 75 tickets via the contract for revenue generation purposes, I've been informed that the chairwoman has already purchased the tickets. I am respectfully requesting the chairwoman to place this acquisition on the business committee agenda for retro approval, identifying where the funds are to come from, as the expense was not budgeted for. That's my reasoning for asking these questions. I do not believe I'm railroading anybody. I believe I'm trying to hold people accountable. Also the BC should determine immediately how we are going to manage the distribution of these tickets. On another note, the situation may come up through the Super Bowl. At that time, we didn't know for sure. And we do not have a process to or budgeted funds for it, so I strongly recommend the BC deny future tickets for the remainder of this season. That email was sent on January 7th at 6:52 because that's when I got the notice. So I appreciate all the discussion here, and I think there's responsibility, and all we are asking for is communication. We are asking that people hold themselves accountable, and again, the resolution in black and white, states on an amendment to the travel and expense policy, which was adopted on 8608B, and whether or not other committee members were held accountable and whether or not I was on a committee in the past, doesn't have anything to do with this amendment. The amendment states, under credit cards, section 11-1, because we used to have what we had in the past was the American Express. American Express is the official credit card company for the Oneida Tribe of Indians of Wisconsin, and the credit card has, that part was stricken from the, or deleted or revised or whatever. Anyway, the amendment says the corporate credit card is to be utilized for official business use, travel only. And then there's a process. So there is documentation on how to use it if it was questionable. It was only questionable in my mind, and because I sent this email first, I thought if that was responded to, we wouldn't be here today. So it's a matter of courtesy for everybody in this table to communicate and relate to one another so we understand what each other is doing, so that this kind of thing doesn't continue to happen. So I would ask that we call for the question, vote on the motion, because I have a subsequent motion or request stating that this email that I said that the business committee take the formal action, even if it is deemed unauthorized, the process, we still need to reconcile the acquisition, and or the chairwoman will have to reimburse the tribe for that amount. So I don't want to go down that route. I don't think that's where we need to go. I think we brought it to the
attention. Everybody is well aware. We're being very transparent. We're identifying the processes and policies that we have on our books. We're trying to hold everybody accountable. And that's also why I said if there's confusion in the policy, then an amendment needs to be made so that there is no confusion. I don't see that there is confusion, but if we have to be clear on it, then let's be even more clear. So I would just call for the question and ask for a vote on the motion.
Trisha, I'm going to go to Wes, and then we'll go to a vote after. Wes?
Thank you. You know, it sounds like in them contracts there is, I'm familiar with the gaming contract that they have for that box, Packer box, and that comes to about $450,000 a year. But that's regenerated back through their process. And I had no, now the question that begs the question, we got these tickets that are missing. We got this second box of us, what nobody knows. Is that in the same neighborhood of $450,000 a year? I can't get the answer for that. We came to the budget, to the GTC. We were asked to cut $150,000 from the elders. There was no Christmas party for the elders. Mm-hmm. There was no, you know, it's the bigger kind of question is, to me, is what is that second contract with the Packers and what are we paying them? You know, we're asked to commit to a multi-million dollar organization that, you know, they got money and yet we're contributing. Then we're asked to cut our programs. We're asked to cut everything for our elders. And I'm responsible. The board is on a co-ed chair. You know, if we don't speak up on behalf of the elders, where is that going to come from? So I would like to know, and where is that second country? Where is it at? Who decides them tickets? How is it? How did it get past the general population of the tribe? Nobody seems to know about that second box. That's all I'm, you know, it's, I don't want to know about the can of worms, but that can of worms has been opened, and I'd like to explore it, have it be explored, because we deserve answers as tribal members. And as far as, I guess I kind of agree with Trish, is somebody does something in the past, that's it, but if the policy not, but I think we should support Tina too on that too. Thank you.
I'm gonna go for a call for the question, Jacob, but I'll take your remarks after the vote. Okay, so all those in favor of the motion, and I don't know, I would, motion was to, let me go back to my second page.
I can restate it if you'd like.
The motion was to deny the report and to deem the Packer purchase of the tickets unauthorized. Motion was by Melinda, second by Lisa. Questions or comments on the motion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstention?
Abstain.
An abstention? Motion carries. Thank you. Jacob?
I just want to say for the record, as far as in reference to the courtesy to communication, I'm the chairwoman's policy advisor, and I was not approached regarding the process of purchasing the tickets by email or face-to-face, and I've made it clear before that my office door is always open, so if you guys have any questions, feel free to contact me. And I'd also like to make a request to have the 66 unaccounted for tickets be reported to the BC as to where those went. I feel like it's only fair since the chairwoman had to do a report. Those 66 that were unaccounted for during the season should also be reported to you guys. I feel like a further investigation is necessary in order to make sure the future policy of the Packer tickets is to everyone's best interest. Thank you.
Thank you, Jacob. And he did ask for his comments to be inserted into the record.
Madam
I also
Chair.
Want to state for the record that the motion that was voted on deems that my report was inaccurate, and it was reported to the best of my knowledge, and so I disagree with that motion being on the record. As far as the unauthorized purchase, I acted within my understanding of what occurred at the officers' meeting It was a verbal discussion, and I'm also acted within my authority of the chairwoman to execute that acquisition. As precedent has been set to that effect. Also, for the record, I will be taking this item to the General Tribal Council for further discussion because I don't know whatever other appeal rights I have at this point. GTC is my supervisor. And that's for the record. Melinda and then Brad.
For the record, in response to Jacob's statements, Ms. Mary Graves, who is the chairman's assistant, had been CC'd on all of the emails, just as we have been proceeding with, and if in the future we'll include you as well. We also, excuse me for a second, Jacob, we also, I agree with you that the Packer, if there are 66 missing Packer tickets, that also needs to be looked into. However, that information just got brought to our attention today, as you mentioned it. So I think it's only fair to let the business committee to review the 300 plus the information report that we received over the last couple of days, and also request that report come forward to the business committee, because I also have questions about not only where did the tickets go, Thornberry Hotel Corporation, Gaming Retail, but I want to know how they used them. So that's for the record.
Brad?
I fully agree with you, Tina. Support what you're saying. And as far as that goes, would you bring it before GTC? I would also ask that you bring up some of these other discrepancies that have happened since you've been in office. Make everybody know what's going on here. You know, these guys railroaded this through. Might as well have just gotten a rope out. I mean, it's my personal feeling what you just did was totally disrespectful. Did what the best interest was. Like I said, you would have had to pay for these tickets. Either way, you agreed to so many tickets. My understanding with the football, because I'm a Colts fan, that if you order tickets or reserve tickets under a contract, you're liable and responsible for them. So either way, we had to pay for them. So I fully support you, Tina, on this. Bring it before GTC.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments on the motion? If not, we're going to move on. The next item is...
Madam Chair, there's some follow-up motions.
Okay.
I'll make a follow-up motion to identify that the tickets will be paid for from the business committee's special projects line of the budget. So that the expense can be reconciled timely, so that there is no withholding of anything from you personally.
There's a motion by Lisa that the reconciliation of the purchase of the tickets come from the special projects line of the budget, and that there would not be any personal liability for the cost. There's a motion. Is there support? Second call. Is there support?
Second.
Second by Jenny. Discussion on the motion. No discussion on the motion. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Opposed.
Abstaining? Any abstentions? I'm going to call for the vote is tied, I believe. Three voting yes and three voting no. So,
I think the reason that I opposed was because I opposed the acquisition of the tickets in the first instance. So I don't oppose the fact that we should pay for it from the special projects line. I didn't support the acquisition of the tickets. So I don't know if that should be an abstention or an oppose, so I said oppose.
Well, your comments is relevant to the first motion about you didn't agree with it, so, which is obvious through your emails, but the second one was that they would be reconciled. The second motion is, the subsequent motion is that they be reconciled through their project, special project line of the budget. So it's only to that and not to the occurrence. I'm just going to go to a roll call vote because I'm not clear who's who here. Trish?
I'll support the motion.
Lisa?
Support.
Support.
Opposed?
Opposed.
Support.
Motion passes 4-2. Any other motions on this item, Jenny?
I'd also like to make a motion to cancel the corporate credit cards for the business committee, and we won't have this problem.
Second.
There's a motion by Jenny to cancel the corporate credit cards for the business committee to alleviate this problem. Motion is made by Jenny and second by Lisa. Discussion? Brad?
I'll agree 100% with this. Under this condition, I'd like added. You want to do travel? You have to bring it up at least a month prior. So start planning your travel and bring it to GTC for approval. I want your travels all approved by General Tribal Council. Period. I'd like that added, Madam Chair. Let us decide.
The motion's in order, although there's one problem with it. There is a council member on approved travel that is currently utilizing that card to return home after airport delays. And so that might be difficult depending on the timing of the cancellation of the cards. I would ask you to take that into consideration.
Okay. At this point, that travel has already been paid for. The airline has already been purchased. He probably got a travel advance for food and for cab expense. This is not an issue, and it's going forward anyways. He's already on travel, so this is a not, you know, retroactive before today, so that is not an issue for today. But thank you anyways, Joanne. Wes?
Yeah, I'd be opposed to that because you guys, all eight of you have opportunities where you have to travel for business on benefit, and to deny that you have to go to GTC, which meets, what, two or three times a year? Or four times and get their approval, I don't think it's fair to use. And the tribe, if you guys can't operate as a board, and I would suggest is that you get the process that's working now, unless it's somewhat defunct, it seems to work. And I would ask the board to deny that it's imperative you guys travel when you have to. And it's costly sometimes, but it's also to do the travel businesses, it calls for you. And to wait for GTC, nobody's going to travel. And I know on a COA, other boards have to travel too, and then to have to come and make that request to GTC, come back. It's going to hinder the process of getting business done for the tribe.
Thank you. The motion actually is to cancel the credit cards. It's not prohibiting travel. Travel can still occur without a credit card. The majority of the tribal employees do travel without a tribal credit card. That's why we do travel advances. So eliminating the credit cards of the business committee is not going to prohibit travel. But thank you for your comment, Wes. Any other questions or comments on the motion? If not, all those in favor of the motion to cancel the credit cards for the business committee, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries unanimously. Anything else on this item? Lisa?
Chair, I would like to, if you are in agreement, that we ask that your office follow up on the unaccounted for tickets and provide that information back to the business committee in a formal way so that we can address any issues that might be relative to the concerns that you identified regarding those unaccounted for tickets.
Is that a motion?
Yes.
Support.
There's a motion that my office, for the chairwoman to follow up on the unaccounted tickets I would ask that it not be limited to unaccounted tickets, but just for how the tickets have been dispersed, and which includes both accounted and unaccounted for tickets.
Concur.
And purpose. Melinda?
I guess I would, you know, I'd like to even make it broader. I mean, the General Tribal Council, the community, whether it be on Facebook or face-to-face, have questioned the Packer contract in its entirety. There has been several, not just about the tickets, about the expenses associated with it. And there is a confidentiality clause within the Packer contract that says that we would not disclose certain elements of that contract. But we also have an opportunity to go to the Packer organization and ask them for their permission to release information. And I think that utilizing our constituency base and that we're paying a significant amount of money for that contract, I think we should ask them to let us release some of that information so that we can disclose to the General Tribal Council exactly what we're getting for what amount of money that we're paying. I think it's imperative that our entities also show the General Tribal Council the return on investment that we get by associating ourselves with the Packer organization and what types of opportunities that other tribes could have if we weren't the ones partnering with them. So I think that there's a bigger scope here that I would like. I mean, I know what your motion is, mm-hmm. and we want to focus on the 66 tickets, but I think that's going to spur into a larger discussion, and we should just disclose that information to General Tribal Council anyway, period, because that we keep getting accused of, you know, putting money towards the Packer contract and not caring for our elders, but the $150,000 was part of the Packer contract, and we signed that contract years ago, a couple years ago. So, you know, we need to get, if there's a question, let's get it answered, and let's just disclose and see what we can disclose and at least get that information to the General Tribal Council and to our community so that there's an understanding about exactly how, because nobody ever mentioned the tickets that we actually give away at the beginning mm-hmm. to tribal members, because we do utilize some of those tickets and we do a random drawing, and tribal members have access to some of the tickets within the contract as well. So there's all different kind of parts, and I think it's time to put them together. And I don't know how to...
No, I'll withdraw my motion so that we can reframe.
Motion's been withdrawn. Did you want to read?
Give me a second.
I know. Trying to figure out.
Are you, first, I guess the question for you first is, are you willing to accept, because it's going to be quite a little bit of work to get all that, and I know you have a really hectic schedule, so... Are you okay with that, or should we assign it somewhere else?
I don't have a problem with working. I don't.
I know, I'm just...
A little bit of a workaholic.
Yeah, okay. All right, so motion to direct the chair's office to work on bringing a comprehensive report to the Oneida Business Committee regarding the performance of the Packer contract, including a presentation to the General Tribal Council for the July semi-annual meeting with the information that we are able to disclose according to the contract. And my expectation, and so that's my motion, and just as a side note, my expectation would be that the operations who works on the contract, who actually manages the contract on behalf of the committee, would work with the chair's office to develop how that communication is going to occur with the General Tribal Council and what information needs to be going out.
You know, you kind of went off on a tangent with your motion, so I understand your motion to provide the chair's office to bring back a comprehensive report to the business committee and a presentation be made at the July semi-annual meeting.
Yes.
And then you went off on to another.
Okay, I'll just limit it to that right now, and I'll...
Okay.
I draw my other comments.
I'll second.
Motion by Lisa, seconded by Melinda, to authorize my office to do a comprehensive report to the business committee and a presentation to the July semi-annual meeting of the General Tribal Council. Questions, comments on the motion? And I totally understand the restrictions of confidentiality and proprietariness with this directive. Michelle.
I think one of the things that you guys don't understand is that a couple months ago, we put together a whole presentation laying out every single piece of the Packer contract, and three business committee members showed up for one of our larger contracts. Only three showed up, which is okay because I understand people are traveling or maybe they're too busy to be there, but three people showed up. And so that information is there. I mean, we had the Radisson there. We had Thornberry Creek. We had the retail. We had the casino there to talk about everything that was in the contract. Every single ticket that was given through the contract, everybody has to sign for. So there are no missing tickets. And the fact we did provide 277 pages with some backup, you know, signatures and stuff like that. And that was in one day. We had one day to quick whip something together. So I'm sure there's even more pieces to put together. So that's one of the things that we want to talk about, because 4 years ago, who knows where all the tickets went. But since that time, since we kind of took it over, we have a chart that says, for this specific game, two tickets go to retail. For this specific game. So we have that out in great detail. And, for example, retail will provide the report back that actually shows the collateral piece that goes along with their promotion, all the rules, all the regulations, and then they provide all the sheets that everyone has signed for the tickets. So on the fact that there's all these missing tickets, it just doesn't occur. Now, can you validate the return on investment? Absolutely, and that's what we should absolutely do. So as far as the overall contract for GTC, I think that there is a way to explain the contract to the General Tribal Council in a good way. We're not divulging all the information, because everyone calls it the million-dollar gate. They all know it's $1 million. So, but you have to look at things differently than just we're just giving all this money to them, because there is a return on the gate. And it's the things that don't get talked about up here that say, hey, did you know that over $500,000 comes back to us in revenue from the Packers staying at the Radisson? Or our hotel fills up first because people know that the Packers are staying at the Radisson? So there's these other returns that you can look at and you can actually talk about, and then everyone will understand the true value of the gate. Do you want Pottawatomie up there? I mean, that's a decision that can be made, you know, in 7 years when the contract's over with. But I really want to firmly instill in you guys' mind that the Packer tickets are all accounted for. They are not used for anyone's personal use. Outside of that, I have no idea. And I know that working with the contract, the Packers just don't excite me anymore, because there's all this knee and this and that. So it's great, because we get the tickets in and they are gone. So we'd be very happy to sit down and have another. And I believe that they had talked about doing a follow-up meeting with the business committee on how the contract was used this year, because we had other things, and there's been more things that have been added as far as benefits back to the Oneida people. So, I mean, I think the conversation is there, and I think all the paperwork is there for people to feel safe and secure that our money that we're spending at this time, that is being spent wisely for a business purpose, and then to elevate the Oneida's brand in the Green Bay community. So that's all the comments I have.
You know, Michelle, I understand that there was a presentation made on the Packer contract, and I understand three committee members were there. That's not the question. The question is the reconciliation. You can present. We get presentations that we're going to go. We're going to have a powwow. We're going to have another special event. But at the conclusion of the event, did you deliver what you presented? And this is about the reconciliation. This is not about the presentation. It's about the reconciliation. I'm very familiar with the Packer contract. I've reviewed it several times. It's not the first time it's been in front of me. I was involved in reviewing the old contract, the previous 10-year contract. We're on our second 10-year contract. So, you know, I understand. I don't need a presentation to be informed. I'm very capable of picking something up, reading it, and comprehending it, and reviewing from that standpoint. I appreciate that you took the time to make a presentation. I think may have been more so for the benefit of people who are not familiar with the Packer contract. And I've been familiar with it from a financial standpoint as well as a business standpoint and a community relations standpoint. I understand all those aspects of the contract. I don't need to be taught those things or presented on those things because I fully understand. Like I said, I also understand the difference between confidentiality and proprietariness, and that will be considered in my report as well. So, you know, the question here is about the accountability. It's not about presentation of the contract. It's about
that's part
accounting
of the presentation,
for it. So. And so, you know, we got a 20 or 45 page backup with Sharpie comments on the back. 15 went for community fundraising. Well, what community fundraising? That's not an account of how that
well,
was.
No 15 for community fundraising.
Well, that's what we got. So I'm only, you know, and writing it on the back of a piece of paper with a Sharpie to me is not a way to be accounting for something at this that is to this extent. So, you know, I will do the job that I'm being asked to do of the committee, and thank you for your comments. Any other comments on the motion, Jacob?
Although it excites me a lot to possibly do a presentation at the GTC, I don't think my position as a policy advisor makes me any authority on the Packer contract. I feel like the people actually working with the Packer contract and in charge of the merchandise and the tickets should probably be the ones presenting because that's what they're hired for. That's what they get paid to do. Thank you.
Thank you.
I don't mind doing the research as far as the unaccounted for tickets go.
Thank you, Wes.
Yeah, I guess are we acknowledged there is two contracts with the Packers? Or is
no, there's one contract. We're on a second contract. The first contract was a 10-year. We're on a second contract. That one expired.
Okay, do we still have one with gaming then?
That is a separate matter. There is a a marketing contract with the tribe, and gaming has a budgeted expense to provide that they entertain their players with a suite that is within their budget.
Okay, so there's in reality there's two boxes then, one for gaming and one for the tribe.
In reality, gaming has in their budget provided for a suite for their customers. In addition to that, there is the Packer contract that provides many other opportunities.
So I don't have, if we can show that it's having similar to the gaming, what they do with theirs is a generating back. If it's true that the tickets are being used in a way that they're coming back money to the tribe. But the question is tickets, who are they? What are the people that are getting them? You can give 15 to such, but who are the people that are getting them is the question.
That is the question.
Is it generating revenue back to the tribe? Are they just, like, I know we used to have a drawing. Was that part of it? I think we, so that's the question is what is the, I agree. If there's generating money to get back to the tribe, then that's fine. But we don't see that. And I apologize. I didn't even know there was this gaming presentation. And if there is another one, we'll make it hopefully be available.
Okay, thank you. Joni.
Thank you very much. I know that the amount of work that we gave you, because this is a copy of what we submitted, is very comprehensive. And what I would like to ask or suggest is that internal audit do the auditing of this and the reconciliation. The reason for that is the outreach. For instance, some of the tickets were voided purposely by gaming because of the location of them for their high rollers. Okay, so I think that audit has a system. They have a method and an approach to reconcile everything, especially for the outreach that needs to be done to our enterprises such as the Radisson, Thornberry, and all of the gaming information. Thank you.
You know, I've seen the information about reconciliation. I have seen gaming. They have specified by name, but they don't necessarily give that to you. But I have seen their documentation that reflects that. Retail has also done a great job in verifying and reconciling their ticket usage, mm-hmm. exactly how it was done and who it was given to. But there are other areas that have been given tickets that are not accounting for them as gaming does and as retail does. And so that is part of the issue. Any other questions or comments on the motion? If not, motion to provide that the chair's office do a report, a comprehensive report to the business committee and a presentation to General Tribal Council. That's the motion in front of you. Questions or comments further on this or not? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries unanimously. Trish, did you have a question?
I think it's probably next step, what I'm thinking. So I'll just hold on to that thought.
Okay. The next item is a travel request to ratify an e-poll for Brandon Stevens to attend My Brother's Keeper Community Challenge National Convening Meeting in Washington, D.C., January 28th. Melinda?
I'd like to make a motion to approve or ratify the e-poll request for Councilman Stevens and Councilwoman Fawn Billy to attend the My Brother's Keeper Community Challenge National Convening Council in Washington, D.C., January 28th, although Fawn didn't go because of weather. I'd still like to get her approval because she did purchase a ticket.
There's a motion by Melinda to approve an e-poll request submitted by Brandon and Fawn to attend the My Brother's Keeper Community Challenge National Convening Meeting. Motion by Melinda, second by DeHasse. The request was for both, and as noted, Fawn did expend the cost of a ticket and then declined to travel.
She had weather purposes.
They canceled
their flight.
Okay.
So the meeting was canceled too.
At the meeting was canceled? Yeah. And Brandon still went?
He went day before to meet with Scott Dacey with other meetings that day.
Convening council we had the day before?
Yeah, they sent me the agenda because they didn't know. I was going on Tuesday also.
Okay. There's a motion. Questions or comments further on the motion? Jenny?
Just a recommendation for in the future. When he brought this initiative to us, we did ask if it was going to cost us anything, and he told us no. And then this came up. So if there's initiatives in the future, if you can find out if it's going to cost us anything down the road, that would be helpful.
In order to participate, you mean?
Correct.
Yeah.
You know, I agree. That was the understanding, that for him to participate in My Brother's Keeper activities was not going to be a cost to the tribe. It's really not relevant to what he does as a councilman. And I think there's a concern about expending tribal resources for something that is non-related to his responsibility. You know, there's been questions at the tribal level, too, about how this has any bearing on the activities here in Oneida. So anyways, the motion stands. Any other questions or comments? If not, Fawn.
I did go to the My Brother's Keeper meeting here. Michael Smith, President Obama's top cabinet member, came here. And then what the program is for young men of color, but also the initiative is also for reservations. And he was here to see what our reservation has to offer for our youth. And that was one of the initiatives why he was invited back and invited me.
as representatives to share initiatives that we help our young kids become leaders, and that was why he went to the White House.
Lisa.
And then just to tag on to that, thank you, Fawn. We did approve a proclamation dated BC Resolution 11-12-14C, which did indicate our acceptance as a tribe to the My Brother's Keeper Community Challenge. So just as a reminder for all of us that we did commit to participating in these activities.
Yeah, I think we're all fully aware of the resolution for the challenge. So thank you. Brad?
Again, I think it's time for these guys to sit down and take notice. I mean, you got the next ones coming up in March. That's fine. At least it's getting approved ahead of time and notice. Now, like this one, why did you just pass a resolution not knowing what was going into it? I had to do a little more research and thinking on this stuff instead of costing the tribe money. That's why I'm saying you should start putting your travel plans together and bring this before GTC. Let us decide your travels. Then you're accountable to us to prove why you have to do it. Or else make it accountable and provable to you, the business committee, why you absolutely have to go do this. I see the chair and vice chair should only be doing the traveling. And that's for stuff to help with government to government and tribe to tribe. And with Washington and whoever else. The rest of you should be sitting at home doing your jobs, not traveling all the time. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments on the motion? All those in favor of the motion to approve the EPOL travel from Brandon, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is a request for the NIGA trade show and convention on March 29th to the 3rd of April. There is a request from Louise to send three gaming management employees to this event, and there was discussion about other participants throughout the tribe, which includes other departments, including the Gaming Commission and Business Committee. Is there a motion to entertain this item? Jenny?
Madam Chair, I make a motion to approve three employees from gaming to attend the conference and also to approve three business committee members.
There's a motion by Jenny to approve three gaming and three business committee members for this event. Is there support on the motion? Second call, is there support on the motion? Third call, is there support by DeHasse? Discussion, I would like to be included as one of the three business committee members so I can plan accordingly and save some money for the tribe from expenses. Anyone else interested in attending from the business committee?
I do not plan on attending if you're attending, so
okay,
I'll stay back.
I'm not interested in attending either, but I guess I'm going to oppose the motion. I don't think there's a need for three of us to go. If we coordinate with gaming and potentially intergovernmental affairs and communication like we should be, then I think there, you know, maybe two, but I don't, looking at the agenda, I didn't see anything that was kind of raised my, from a legislative perspective to say we need to send three at this point. So that, just so you know, then I'll just oppose.
I'd be willing to change it to two. I just couldn't speak for Gaming Commission, you know.
Yeah.
So two would be fine.
There is a motion amendment or reconsideration for two business committee and three gaming. And the motion was by Jenny and seconded by DeHasse. Do you concur with the change to two?
Concur.
Okay. Are there any other committee members interested in attending the NIGA event? Jenny, you're interested?
I'd like to, yes.
Okay. Motion then is to approve three gaming employees and two business committee members, myself and Jenny Webster, to attend the NIGA trade show and convention. Any other questions or comments on the motion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. Next item is operational reports. There is nothing submitted. Corporate reports, there is no action. The remainder of our reports are scheduled to begin at 1:30. Do you want to recess until 1:30?
We can go through the executive session items on the agenda.
Okay. Under executive session items, the first item is the gaming general manager report.
Motion to accept the report, Madam Chair.
Second.
Motion by Melinda, second by Jenny to accept the report. Questions or comments on the report? If none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries.
Madam Chair, follow-up motion.
Yes, Melinda.
Within the gaming general manager report, we talked about parental leave time. I'd like to defer that the parental leave time issue to the next business committee work meeting.
Second.
There is a subsequent motion to assign the parental leave item to the business committee work meeting. Motion's made by Melinda, second by Lisa. Questions or comments on the parental leave motion? If none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is the chief counsel report. Jenny?
Madam Chair, make a motion to approve the chief counsel report.
Second.
Motion by Jenny, second by Fawn to accept the chief counsel report. Questions or comments? I just want to note that I did send a follow-up memo to land management regarding 7 Gen's request for information.
I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments on chief counsel report? If not, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is an intergovernmental affairs and communications report.
Madam Chair, I make a motion to approve the Intergovernmental Affairs and Communications Report.
Support.
Motion to approve the Intergovernmental Affairs Communications Report by Jenny, second by DeHasse. Questions or comments on the report?
Just one note that it was recommended that they are bringing back morning update just to help with the communication.
Okay, thank you. Anything else? If not, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. There is no officer report. Under audit, the first item is the lifting of the confidentiality for 5 audits. Title 31 audit, table games audit, gaming contracts audit, drop count, and surveillance.
Madam Chair?
Yes, it has
to. These 5 audits were approved at the last business committee meeting. We just... as a procedure, forgot to lift the confidentiality of these 5 audits, so that's what we're looking for today, so that they will be available for tribal members to view via the SOP for viewing. So I'd like to make the motion to lift the confidentiality of the 5 audits titled Title 31 Audit, Table Games Audit, Gaming Contract Audit, Drop Count Audit, and Surveillance Audit.
Second.
Motion by DeHasse, second by Lisa, to lift the confidentiality for the 5 audits. Questions or comments on the motion? If none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. Next item is acceptance of the audit committee regular meeting minutes of December 11th, 2014.
So move, Chair.
Support?
Support.
Motion by DeHasse, second by Melinda, to approve the meeting minutes for December 11, 2014. Any questions or comments on those minutes? If not, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. There's also a consideration for a special meeting minutes of December 30th, 2014 for the Audit Committee.
Motion to approve, Madam Chair.
Support.
Motion by Melinda, second by DeHasse to approve the minutes of December 30th, 2014. Question or comments? If none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is the approval of the card game audit, poker rules of play audit, and to lift the confidentiality requirement allowing tribal members to view the audit.
So moved, Madam Chair.
There's a motion by DeHasse, second by Fawn, to approve this item. Questions or comments on the motion? If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is approval of the cage vault audit and to lift the confidentiality requirement.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Second.
Motion by DeHasse, second by Lisa, to approve the cage vault audit and confidentiality requirement being lifted. Questions or comments on this item? If none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is a request to approve the player tracking compliance audit and to lift the confidentiality requirement.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Motion by DeHasse, second by Lisa, to approve the player tracking compliance audit and the confidentiality requirement. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Item 7 is to approve the blackjack rules of play audit and to lift the confidentiality requirement.
So moved, Madam Chair.
Second.
Motion by DeHasse, second by Fawn. Questions or comments? None. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. Under new business, there is approval for a contract for Paul Stenzel, attorney for the judiciary. Contract number 2014-1491.
Madam Chair.
Lisa.
Motion to approve the Paul Stenzel contract number 2014-1491.
There's a motion to approve the attorney contract for Paul Stenzel contract number 2014-1491. Discussion, questions or comments? If none, Brad.
In other words, the new judiciary is asking for an attorney, what you're saying?
This is an attorney who's been a longstanding consultant as an attorney for the Appeals Commission and Judiciary. Mr. Stenzel has been on board as a part-time contract. His contract will allow for him to be utilized as needed and not part-time, but just as needed.
So he has been on before then?
He has for several years, for probably 10 years.
Well, that's just what I wanted to get cleared up.
Sure.
I didn't know if it was a new one or not. That's something nobody knew about, that they had an attorney that was on call. So,
okay. Thank you. Maybe not 10, probably more like 7 years. But oh well. Any other questions or comments on the attorney contract? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is a review of a tribal member complaint regarding the Child Protective Board. And I think there were four items as follow-up for this complaint. Lisa?
Madam Chair, I've identified four motions, so I'll go ahead and make the first one. Motion to request a meeting with the Child Protective Board on the identified issues.
Second.
So motion by Lisa, second by Fawn, to schedule a meeting with the Child Protection Board regarding the issues of the complaint. Questions or comments on the motion? If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. Lisa.
Madam Chair, I'll make a motion to defer a policy statement be developed by the Oneida Law Office and for the LLC to reprioritize the children's code.
Second.
There's a motion by Lisa, second by DeHasse, to defer the policy development to the LLC, in which they will place the children's code as a priority.
Can I get a clarification?
Yes, Melinda.
The clarification, I thought, you're asking the law office to develop a policy statement for the business committee?
Yes.
And then the second part of that is for the LLC to prioritize, not reprioritize, but make the children's code a priority?
Yes.
Okay. Just making sure.
Okay, I'm hearing that motion is to have policy statement developed by the law office for the business committee, and that the LLC place the children's code as a priority. That is the clarification of the motion. Discussion, comments? If not, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
I'll make a motion to not approve the financial request provided in the complaint.
There's a motion to deny the financial request by Lisa, support by Jenny.
Support.
Questions or comments? If none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
One final motion, Madam Chair.
Yes, Lisa.
Make a motion to request the law office to submit a formal response to the complainants on behalf of the business committee. The motion is to request the law office to submit a formal response to the complainant on behalf of the business committee.
So, motion by Lisa, second by DeHasse, to direct the law office to develop a response to the complainant on behalf of the business committee. Questions or comments on the motion? If none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries.
Motion to recess to 1:30.
So motion to recess to 1:30 by Melinda. Second by Trish. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. See you at 1:30. Session. We have a quorum established. Roll call. I'm going to start with Trish.
Trish King here.
Vaughn Billy here.
Lisa Summers here.
Tina here.
Jenny Webster here.
Melinda is out. She didn't have a babysitter for the afternoon, so she said she won't be returning to the meeting, and I'm not sure where DeHasse is, but I'm sure he'll be here shortly. We are in the report section of the meeting. Under reports to convene at 1:30, the first board is the Oneida Police Commission report. There is nothing submitted. Handle this item. Vaughn?
I'd like to make a motion to halt any and all stipends to the Police Commission until a delinquent report is submitted to the Business Committee and accepted by the Business Committee.
Second.
Motion made and seconded by Vaughn. Can you repeat your motion, please?
To halt any and all stipends to the Oneida Police Commission until the delinquent report is submitted to the Oneida Business Committee and accepted by the Business Committee.
Okay, thank you. Any further discussion on this item? Comments? If not, all those in favor. Oh, I'm sorry, Jenny.
A follow-up motion.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
All right. All those in favor of the motion regarding the halting of stipends until the report is submitted, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. J? Jenny, did you have another motion?
A follow-up motion to direct Tribal Secretary Lisa Summers, liaison to Oneida Police Commission, to notify Police Commission of their delinquent report and ask the report be submitted to the next business committee agenda.
Second.
This motion made by Jenny, second by Lisa, to provide at the Secretary's office notice the Police Commission of their delinquent report. Questions or comments on the motion? If there are none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. The second item is the Arts Board report. There is a submission. Jenny.
Make a motion to accept the United Arts Board report.
There's a motion. Is there support?
Second.
Motion by Jenny, second by Fawn, to accept the United Arts Board report. Questions or comments on the report or the motion? If none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. May the minutes reflect that DeHasse Hill has arrived. Item three under reports is the Anna John Resident Centered Care Community Board. There is a report submitted. Hi, Carol.
Hi. Well, I can say that the Anna John Nursing Home is running very well at this point, and the residents, they have anywhere from 40 to 44 residents. Some come and go, and due to death, there is still that growth. And the financial part is very good, too, where they're bringing in money so that it's not so much tribal contribution. And they're trying to get their staff with more Oneida nurse CNAs or nurses or whatever they have openings for. And so I feel like it's the director and the people there that are working there are doing a really good job. So if you have any questions that I can answer. But sometimes Debbie's report also has some information on the Anna John nursing home. So that is in the her last report, too. So our reports are pretty much, you know, the kind of the same details in there. So if you have any questions.
Any questions for Carol? No. Is there a motion to accept the report?
So moved, Madam Chair.
Motion by Lisa, second by DeHasse, to accept the Anna John Nursing Home Centered Care Community report.
Okay, thank you.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thanks, Carol.
Thank you, too. Have a good day.
You too. The next item is the Oneida Child Protection Board report. There's nothing submitted. Do with this item.
Madam Chair, yes. I'll make a motion to halt all stipends to the United Child Protective Board until the report is submitted and accepted by the business committee.
Second.
Motion by Lisa, second by Jenny, to halt stipends until a report is submitted to the business committee. Questions or comments on the motion? If there are none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. The next item is the Oneida Personnel Commission report.
Madam Chair, there was a follow-up motion.
Oh, okay.
I'll make a follow-up motion to direct myself as the liaison to the Child Protective Board to notify them of their delinquent report and ask that the report be submitted for the next business committee agenda.
Second.
There is a motion by Lisa, second by Fawn, to notice the Child Protection Board to submit their report to the business committee. Questions or comments on the motion? If There are none. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. Personnel Commission report.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon.
Hi there, Gina.
Do you guys need me to summarize it? I know you read it already.
Right.
The outstanding issue, if you have read it, is that managers on the non-gaming side of the house are not getting representation. When they have hearings, they, I guess, are expected to just handle it. But I think what needs to be communicated is that employees don't have experience being engaged in the appeal process. And when managers, supervisors, when they get into the disciplinary process, they might get training for that, but they're not trained to, like, attend hearings and things of that nature. So they are not being represented by anyone on the non-gaming side of the house. And to date, the only ones that really get that representation is you guys, the business committee. You have the law office that comes in and they help you out. But for your frontline managers on up, they're not getting that same service. So that's about the only thing that's being highlighted in this report that stands out anyway.
Okay, Jenny?
Question, Gina. The law office does not help the non-gaming side. Does the law office help supervisors and managers?
Not in our hearings. I don't know, you know, like we've had recent cases where they were struggling. Some in the past just said, I want this case dismissed, even though they may have appropriately disciplined the employee, whatever the case was. They could not, they weren't experienced enough to represent themselves in a hearing process where you got to bring witnesses, testimony, what have you. So they just said, forget it. Toss the discipline. We're done. They win. And that was the end of that. And that was in a case last year. I don't want to name the names or anything, but they are struggling a little bit, so I don't know how you guys want to rectify it, but the Blue Book does state that the respondents or the managers are entitled. I don't know if the correct word is titled, but they have a right to representation. So, however, you know, the law office handles that, that's how they handle it. But there used to be a non-gaming management representative, Don, I forgot his last name, Don something. Miller, yeah, he used to do that. That was his job. And then somehow his job evolved into now he's with the grants writing department or whatever. So they have no one essentially. So we're just struggling with that. The managers are struggling with that. And what I guess we don't want to see is if they're disciplining an employee in the best interest of the tribe, then they have to go before a hearing and they don't feel that they can do that. They're just letting that go, dismissing it and say, forget it then. So that kind of defeats the purpose of being able to, you know, handle problem employees, and you can't correct their behavior because they may appeal it, and then managers need, or supervisors, frontline all the way up, they need to have representation. So I'm just highlighting that.
Okay, thank you. Joanne, you have a question or a comment?
Thank you very much. The Blue Book doesn't entitle anyone to representation. Managers receive advice and guidance from our office in all cases. They receive assistance in preparing their documentation and in preparing for the hearing. Personnel Commission hearings are not so complex or convoluted that a supervisor cannot simply present their actions and the documentation for their actions as in presenting their case. None of these cases are so complex that it requires legal representation. It is our belief that a supervisor, in managing their office and their employees, understand what the expectations of their employees are and what they've done and not done, and that their ability to describe that rests solely in their hands. They had the management knowledge, skills, and abilities to discipline an employee for doing something wrong. They should have the knowledge, skills, and abilities to be able to explain that. Our office is prepared to assist any manager and preparing documents for the Personnel Commission and preparing for any hearing. And we're doing that simply because we do not have the personnel in our office to represent every supervisor that goes in front of the Personnel Commission. We believe that this is an escalation in the formalities and complexities in a Personnel Commission hearing that ultimately undermines the ability to clearly hear and understand what the issue is and have the parties resolve that issue before we end up in appealing that to the Appeals Commission, or wasting or spending a significant, inordinate amount of time in front of the Personnel Commission holding hearings on what ultimately is a fairly simple matter 90% of the time. Thank you.
Can I respond to that?
Sure.
I agree with Joanne, it's simple, but a lot of supervisors, entry-level supervisors on up, they're not experienced in a hearing setting. I mean, they're not just coming in and telling a story. They're presenting a case. If it is, sometimes they are complex. I can name several off the top that were extremely complex that took a year or more just to get through the hearing process. So the employees, the frontline employees, they are getting their representation through the paralegals and through the ERRs. However, like I said, on the non-gaming side, sometimes issues come up that, you know, that the employee may have a seasoned advocate. Some of these employees go out and get attorneys. So that manager is automatically at a disadvantage when they're going up against attorneys. Attorneys use legal language people don't always understand. They're not coming in there making it real simple. They're actually coming in there and making it very complex. So I'm going to disagree with Joanne on the part that it's so simple they should know what, you know, kind of be able to tell a story. Sometimes they have to go up against attorneys. And it is a hearing process, and any kind of hearing you get into within the tribe, I've been in all different kind of hearings. None of them are easy to get through. None of them I can just walk in and tell a story. You got a panel of judges. The hearing is being recorded. Sometimes you have someone in there transcribing it, and there's formal hearing procedures. For example, the rules of civil procedure. Go ahead and try reading that document. Any lay person that reads it, it's a difficult document to navigate your way through. That document is specifically for attorneys. So it's not easy. It's not easy by any means. So I'm just stating this. I don't know if at some point you guys will look at how to rectify the situation. And I'm going to disagree with her on the blue book too. I've read that blue book in a section that specifically states respondents are, the language not may not be entitled, but it says they have a right. They have a right, and it says they shall be represented by counsel, legal representation, whatever. It doesn't say they might, can, maybe. It says they shall be. And so I just think it's a disadvantage to our managers that are doing a good job. They're trying to do the best they can, and they just struggle through the hearing process. Not everyone's an attorney or an advocate that can just navigate their way through it real simply. That's it.
Lisa?
And I think the bringing this concern forward is well taken, so thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
I, as the liaison to the Personnel Commission, I did have a meeting with them a few weeks ago, and we did briefly talk about this situation. And I think, I understand what Joanne is saying from their perspective, and I don't disagree with what she's stating to us. And I think that's what the position of the committee has been recently, is to allow it to be a more fair process by not being represented by either party at this point. However, looking forward, one of the things that we did recognize during my meeting with the Personnel Commission was that with the implementation of the Civil Rules of Procedure, there are some adjustments and changes that are coming. And we did talk about the challenges that individuals may have understanding how to utilize those rules of procedure in this forum. So I think it's something that we should kind of take note of, and I guess I would ask that I continue to work with the Personnel Commission and figuring out some solutions to what we can do in order to make sure that the supervisors are getting what they need without impeding, I guess, the resources of the law office at the same time. So I think there's some solutions we can find, and I guess I just am going to ask the committee that when we accept the report, that we make a subsequent motion for me to specifically continue to work with the Personnel Commission on this specific issue.
I just have a question. So then with that being said, at the end of the day, you guys are supervisors. You guys design that SOP so that you guys can discipline your employees, officers. So then when it's you at sitting on the other end having to come to a hearing, does that mean you're going to represent yourself, or is it just going to apply? See, the way it applies certain people get that representation. Mm-hmm. Whether or not they're supposed to be competent supervisors and able to come in there and tell their story real simply. So will that apply across the board from the top all the way down with the representation. Is that how that will work?
Sure. I think that's a legitimate question that we can continue to make sure that we find solutions for.
Okay.
In my work with you guys.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Tejasa.
Motion to accept the Oneida Personnel Commission's report.
Second.
There's a motion by Dehasi, second by Lisa, to accept the Oneida Personnel Commission report. Questions or comments on the motion to accept the report? If there are none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
All right, thank you, guys.
Is there a subsequent motion or not?
Yeah, I'll make a subsequent motion, Madam Chair, and that would be for myself as the liaison to the Personnel Commission to continue working with them on representation issues.
Second.
The motion is to assign the Secretary, Lisa, to work with Personnel Commission to resolve representation issues. Could we get an updated report back in 30 days?
I don't believe I'm scheduled for another Personnel Commission meeting this month, so can we make it 60?
Our next meeting is in, it's the second Tuesday of every
right.
month.
Yeah, so there wouldn't.
So there will be.
Right, but I just don't believe that I'm scheduled to attend that particular one.
I mean, you can schedule yourself now if you want, I don't know.
I had a follow-up meeting with Sue, and we discussed how often I would be coming to the meetings.
Okay.
And I don't believe I'm scheduled till the second one in February. That's what I think my conversation was with her.
The second Tuesday in February?
Second one, the second meeting.
We only have one meeting a month.
Okay. I'll follow up with Sue then. I'm going to ask for the 60 days because I had a conversation with Sue about my attendance at the meeting. So
okay.
We have one scheduled, but I know it's not in February.
Okay. So we can anticipate a report following up on this item in 60 days. I'll note that for the record. Any other discussions on the motion?
Who was the second?
I don't know.
Who's the second?
Fawn?
Yep.
There's a motion by Lisa, second by Fawn, to have a report, a follow-up, back to the committee in 60 days regarding representation for employees at the Personnel Commission. Any other questions or comments on the motion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries.
All right, have a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next item is the Powell Committee report.
Afternoon.
Hi, Lloyd.
Some of the actions that have been happening lately, I'll go through those. We're currently working with the LLC to update the bylaws. I think we sent them some changes and they've responded, and now we're gonna look at the responses and then re-respond. So we're kind of going back and forth period right now, but hopefully the whole thing is helpful. We completed our Powell budget for this fiscal year, or we've completed one powwow this year, Three Sisters in November. Our next one is January 31st, or Saturday. It's Honor the Youth. And then this is about the time of the year we begin to work on the July powwow, so we're in full swing. We've made our adjustments to the FY 2015 to comply with the 12% cut. We have also raised some cost within that to do that, or to help that meet that budget for the vendors and admissions. For the vendors, we raised the prices back up for the craft vendors. We had lowered it quite a bit, now we brought it back up. It's still lower than food booths, but we raised it back up a little bit.
How much is a vendor booth?
I believe it's 400. I think the food booths are 450.
Okay.
And we kind of go back and forth for that for the craft booths. Not all of them make it. Some of them make comments that they don't make enough here. Of course, they wouldn't come back if they really weren't making any money here. So it's hard to tell about that, but again, we're trying to find ways to raise more revenues. This year, we're going to look at putting more craft booths up on top of the hill where we have the two tents. We have the elder tent and then the other tent. Or where the other tent is, we're going to put craft booths in there, set that up with craft booths. So that will be a savings because we won't put the tent up. They'll have to set up their own areas. So we're trying to do little things like that to raise more money from within that powwow. If there is that size of a cut next year, we'll probably have to cut a powwow because that's about kind of what the amount of money we're talking about, between $10,000 and $15,000. This year for the July powwow, our theme is we're going to honor the Oneida Code Talkers, so I'll be meeting with ONVAC next month, and I've already met with the Veterans Service Office about it, so we'll work out to see what their input wants to be on that. We will have, I think, three members got sworn in this morning. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're back at a full committee again as of today. With fundraising thus far, we have had one bingo session, and we made about $718 at that. And Wayne Silas Jr. goes to a lot of powwows, so he does 50-50s there for our powwow. So that's been pretty successful. He did about a half dozen of them, I think, last year, and so he's going to do that again this year. That's about it.
Any questions? Jenny.
I'll make a motion to accept the powwow committee report.
Second.
Motion by Jenny, second by Fawn to accept the powwow committee report. Questions or comments on the motion? If none, all those in favor say aye. Say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye and aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Good luck this weekend with your powwow.
Thank you. Just one final comment. I know that Tina, last year sometime when you were a treasurer, you had asked that we have a financial statement in there. So if I ever get my stuff together, that'll be part of the report, and then okay. We can kind of go over that too.
Thank All right. You. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, the next item is the Southeast Oneida Tribal Services Advisory Board. There is a report in your packets.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Just as an FYI for the committee, the Vice Chairwoman Jackie Zalem did let us know that there wouldn't be anybody that was able to attend today to represent the report.
Questions or comments on the report? Is there a consideration? Jenny?
Make a motion to approve the Southeastern Oneida Tribal Services Advisory Board report.
Second.
Motion by Jenny, second by Fawn. Lisa, to accept the SEATS board report. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions, motion carries. Item 8 is Oneida Veteran Affairs Committee report.
I'll have it done before Mike gets up here.
Good afternoon.
Thank you very much for having us today. Our report was submitted and should be in your packet. The information that's there. I've got a couple of comments that I can add at the end if I could about future plans, but everything else is in the report.
Questions or comments on the report submitted?
Real quick for clarification, just so I can better understand. In your report, you had talked about, under item number 2, you're talking about developing some internal procedures for you guys and updating your bylaws about the color guard, and then develop and recommend, implement an ONVAC policy and procedure for responding to the financial support requests from veterans community. Can you just please clarify for me what exactly those types of requests are?
Okay. We have multiple requests that come to different organizations throughout the tribe for financial support for particular personal items. If a veteran, as an example, has an issue that needs support, they'll come to ONVAC and ask for funding. Being a tribal contribution recipient, we do not feel that the funds that the tribal contributes to our particular program can be used as honorariums or gifts to someone in need. So what we've basically done is we're attempting to establish a fund on our own, which will be separate from the tribal contribution for that purpose only. So we're working on that. I've worked with the accounting office in attempting to come up with an account that we can do this with. But unfortunately, we have to get a 501c3 certification, all of those kinds of things. So at this particular time, we're not pursuing that because of the length of time it takes to get that and get all that done. However, that's really what we're looking for is we had a former policy for contributions. That is no longer applicable. You know, we have to stay within the guidelines of the overall tribal organization. So therefore, we follow all of that by the rule. So we don't really do that at this point.
Thank you.
Who makes up your subcommittee of ONVAC?
Four people were appointed: Nathan Smith, myself, Gerald Cornelius, and Jim Martin.
4.4?
I'm sorry?
1.4.
Did I hear you right? Did you say 4.4 people?
No.
That's what it sounded like you said.
Oh, no. Four individuals of the nine have been selected to do all the legwork on this, do the research and the writing. No, just 4.0.
Okay. Hey, John,
just sounded funny.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments for ONVAC?
Okay, the last comments, and as I assume Nathan Smith was signed in this morning or sworn in this morning, so we're at full level then with our committee once again. A couple other things we're working on, as was reported in the previous report from the Anna John Nursing Home Committee. We're working with the Oneida Community Health Center as the Veterans Affairs Representative of the tribe and trying to ascertain and assist with the development of certification of the Anna John Nursing Home as a Veterans Acceptable Reimbursement partner. The same thing goes for eligibility for reimbursement for service for qualified veterans who attend or utilize the Oneida Community Health Center. So they will be coming to our next meeting to discuss those two options that are available. The one thing that's kind of critical for our community health center is it's always good to get that third-party reimbursement, but the current one of the eligibility requirements right now is that if you're within a 40-mile radius of an existing facility, which now the veterans have got a very large facility here in Green Bay, and we are within that range, so we might be disqualified strictly upon that availability. But anyway, that's there. But as far as the certification, the nursing home will be inspected once again in a couple of weeks and attempt to get certified. Everything was done once. That has already previously been done, but there were a few things that the nursing home was not totally set up at the time, and there was a few things that they questioned. So they are coming back in a couple of weeks now, and we'll be once again recertifying. But the biggest point with the health center and the nursing home and eligibility is the fact that there's a term that has to be followed and met, and that's a service-connected disability. In order for us to be able to draw a third-party reimbursement, you know, just because you did 2 years in the military doesn't mean you get the benefit of that service. So if you have a disability that's service-connected, then you are eligible. So a lot of people think because you were a veteran, you have all these benefits. That's not really the case. I believe that's all I have to present.
Lisa?
Just as one final comment, I just want to say thank you for all the assistance that you've been giving to the team for the General Tribal Council meetings. It's been a big help for you guys to have people there. So.
Thank you for that, and we will continue that. That's some of our payback to the community from our perspective.
That last one did not go well. Everybody was rushing out at the same time. It didn't matter who you were or whatever, so, because of the length of it, you know. But
do you have any suggestions about improvements? Because I think we're continually having an issue about keeping some kind of order within the room. You know, security is saying they're looking for specific direction. We've offered you guys as assistance to them, and it just seems like they're just there and with no direction. I thought security knew what their role was.
They're not doing
per their job description, at least.
Exactly. They're not. People are out in the hallway. It's their job to tell them to go back inside, you know, until the meeting has been concluded. And they said that they don't want to do that. That's they'll get mad at them. Well, they get paid, you know. I mean, to me, well, even the gals, some of them that sit at the table said, well, you're not going to get paid until you go back inside that meeting. You know, I mean, that's, you know, and security standing right there, you know, and try to clear the hallways, you know, to get them inside where the meeting is. You know, that should be security telling them, you know. I mean, that's part of their job, I think, but that needs to be something needs to be done on that part. And other than that, I mean, it was the length of the meeting that made it pretty hard. It was like a stampede, really. But there was, you know, there was a lot of people I thought that were considered, you know, of the elders, you know, even though it was rather late, so.
We will continue to work with the security program. They come to our meetings as we ask them to, and I think we need to readdress this because we did never come to any major conclusions. And we met here with the business committee's team, and that worked out well. Everything was fine. The security people did come to the Veterans Service Office and met and had the discussion, but I think as a ONVAC committee, it's really our responsibility to seek that out again and see if we can get them to come to us, and let's come up with some solutions, because that's not acceptable no matter what the issue is or the hour is or what if it were a crisis or an emergency. We can't deal with that type of everybody trampling everybody to get out. So there's not really any, in my mind, there's no excuse for not being courteous and respectful of what we're all supposed to be doing. But we'll work with them on that. And then our liaison has been working with us, and that's one of the points I made in the report, that we will continue to use our liaison person as the focal point to get back into the committee when we don't have reports such as this. And I appreciate Jenny coming to our meetings when she can. She doesn't have to come every time, but if there's certain things, we do brief her, and we know how to contact her, so we'll do that. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments on the report? Is there a motion to approve the report?
Madam Chair.
Jenny?
Oh, make a motion to approve the report.
Second.
Motion by Jenny, second by Fawn to approve the ONVAC report. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Again, thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you. One more thing. Shut up. We was having their chili and fried bread today at 4 o'clock, starting at 4.
4? Okay, thank you.
On Weevil.
All right.
I'm sorry to need your permission.
I believe that concludes our agenda.
Motion to adjourn, Madam Chair.
The motion to adjourn at 2:05, second by Trish. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Thank you.